Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Well, it's Wednesday night, Schlong. You know what that means. The Mark Order Podcast, live. Episode 28? Wow. 28. Not nearly 2 years. You on mute, buddy?
Oh, crap. Sorry, I hit that because I was DMing Kate the streamer again.
It's all good, Schlong. What's going on, man?
Not much. I was just saying, you had the Wednesday night show, and now you're Mark Order. That's a long time.
Yeah, you know, it's just another Wednesday night in paradise, right?
Like Peterson knows what Wednesday night means, and Mark Order is here.
That's right. But he is also right. Damn it, Schlong.
That's not my fault. I was trying to help Kate out.
Turn my mic on.
I don't know why she needs the link.
Yeah. Sorry for the hard cut there, too. I can't fade anything. Oh, my God. I'm going to just boot you from this goddamn broadcast.
You can. I have the power to come back, buddy.
There's got to be a way we can ban people. There's got to be a way. We'll figure it out. Anyway, it's Wednesday night. It's the Mark Order Podcast, number 28. Kate is finally here. Thanks for joining us, Kate.
Hey, you're welcome. It's better this way than the incessant coughing I was doing about 20 minutes ago. So I had to quickly shower to clear the congestion and do what I've been doing, which is just essentially... just like so much vapor rub on my throat. I look like a heel that missed their hair or something. It's so shiny and weird and oily and gross. But I'm here. I made it. How are you,
gentlemen? You gotta get some of those shower tabs, Kate. You get those Vicks Vapo shower tabs? Those are fantastic.
That's a thing.
I'm great, by the way, because Mike Peterson agrees my background is wonderful.
Mike Peterson has no taste.
It's true. He's a Red Sox fan, but he was very nice to me yesterday when he could have definitely chosen violence. So thank you, Mike. Wait, what is this? Okay, I did not know Vicks Vapor Rub was like the most amazing effective thing in the world until this time around when I had COVID. And then I found out from our friends at GoPro Wrestling, who do a ton of the IWTV camera work. Great people, great service. Apparently in the Hispanic community, it's like a cure-all for everything, like bug fights, stretch marks, COVID, apparently. I did not know this was like the most effective thing in the world, but I am so glad I found it because it's been saving my life. Did you guys know Vicks Vapor Rub fucking rules? Because I didn't.
Yes. Yes. No. I'm not part of the Hispanic community, but I do know that Vicks Vapor Rub does in fact rule. I also like they have the little like sniffers, like the little, it's like a little tube, you know, and you stick it in your nose and take a deep breath and, you know, it's,
they have a Vicks nasal spray.
It's not a spray. It's just a sniffer. You literally smell it and it smells like,
are you doing poppers rub there?
No, it just opens your airways. It's the Vicks Vapo scent. I used to get
opened your butthole
before
buddy.
Softball. What?
Just saying, it sounds like you're doing poppers. I'm just saying.
Jesus. Yeah, Mrs. Money does agree that she says I have a problem with those sniffers. But I don't. It just, I used to have, when I played softball regularly, I used to hit that before getting on the field. You're all opened up. You can breathe. There you go. And when you're stuffed up, it helps too. But yes, Kate, Vicks makes, they didn't for a while, and CVS made one. It was okay, but it wasn't like great. And it was a little, it's a little disc that you put on the bottom of your shower. And when the water hits it, it releases that vapo scent in the tub or in, you know, in the shower. And then recently, I think Vicks just started making them again. You need to get them, get a nice hot shower going.
Holy crap. Let that thing. Really,
it's awesome.
Real quick, good to know. Aaron Cotter, you asked me what's wrong with doing poppers. Nothing is wrong with doing poppers. I just think it'd be funny if Ant thought he was doing Vicks and was doing poppers instead. That would have been amazing.
Touche, lady. Touche.
I'm not doing poppers. It is Vicks. It's officially Vicks. I remember one time I did buy a sniffer that I thought was like Vicks, and I opened it and I, you know, took a sniff, and it was the worst. I don't know what it smelled like. It wasn't Vicks Vapo. It was something else.
It wasn't like smelling salts or something, right?
No. It didn't have a smell that like opened you up. You know, it just kind of smelled shitty. So I just like threw it out, and I was like, I got to make sure I never get those fake Vicks sniffers, but it is not a spray. It
have smelled like a grandparent for like 9 days now. Like it smells like grandparents. There's no other way to put it. But wildly effective. I am very much on the mend, but about 10:15, I would say I had an absolute coughing fit, and I could feel like the congestion everywhere. And I was like, well, I'm going to be late to the show or I can't do the show, but I'm going to shower right now. So I quick did. So I'm here now. I'm so excited. Asian Joe saying that someone needs to get Vicks on the phone for a sponsorship. You can just send me product at this point, and I would be so happy. We don't even need the money.
I do.
Okay. Yeah. But you're the additional host that just got here. Let's relax. All right. Let's calm down.
I mean, I will say this, Kate. I would like if somebody would sponsor this show, because we'd be able to use that money for things like t-shirts,
for
stickers.
Sure. I'd prefer the money, but if all you can spare is product, that's where all my money is going right now anyway. So,
as long as they give sniffers and shower tabs, I'm in on that deal.
There you go. And Ryan could just continue to be shocked.
How dare you?
I know.
I thought he was legitimately
I will bring
frozen.
Rate will be replacing you if you keep this attitude.
Fair enough. Thank you to Rate for filling in, and to you guys for holding it down the past 2 weeks, by the way. I'm very excited to be back. I missed you guys very much. It has sucked, but AEW didn't suck. Can we talk about Elevation before we dive in, just to highlight the fact that Crowbar and LSG and the Blue Meanie were all in Philadelphia? How fun and exciting is that going to be for next week? So friends of the Monday night show and half of their anniversary show was booked for this, which was very exciting. I can't wait to watch it. And you guys are gonna two-man at some point in the near-ish future some dark content aside from the live tweeting. So
a little upset I'm gonna miss the Blue Meanie Crowbar episode for that, but it is kind of fun. I we can talk about this because it's literally all over social media. This, and I don't think you can really spoil Elevation. It's not one of those spoiler shows.
Well, we're not saying who won, just that they appeared.
Because I don't know. But the fact that they went out of their way to bring someone like Blue Meanie back to Philly, I appreciate
that. So awesome. So awesome. How much fun is that?
Like, LSG is just a legitimately good wrestler, so he makes sense.
Yeah, he's super reliable. He has worked arenas before. He knows what he's doing. He's familiar with Lee Moriarty from their time in ROH, their brief time, or Lee's very brief time in ROH. They tagged together when we saw them, Ryan, at the 2300 arena. So that just like makes sense. But like Blue Meanie and Crowbar, I texted Ryan jokingly offline and was like, it's good that they're giving these young kids the rub, like Blue Meanie and Crowbar. but just awesome. Like, they continue to give fans what they want, and that'll be so much fun to see on YouTube content too. It's familiar faces that everybody knows. And I think Janela was involved in that angle, which is just like so perfect. So
there's a picture out there of him facing down the Blue Meanie, so he must be involved.
Oh, that's so perfect. Like, what a wonderful development there. So I just wanted to call that out because Elevation is always fun and Dark is always fun, but when they've been in our area, that's been even more fun because it's local talent that we've recognized a few times now. So that rules. Very excited for that.
Yeah, for sure. Those will be good shows to check out. They've been doing good stuff. And like you said, Kate, Shlong and I are working on, you know, getting everything together. We are going to do, God, there's this little gnat just flying around. Won't leave me alone. Shlong and I are working on,
I'm not the most annoying thing in your life tonight.
No, I mean, I think I just killed it. So now you can take the top spot back. Yeah. But yeah, as Kate said, Shlong and I are working on another show, you know, to add to the Mark Order schedule to cover all things Dark. So stay tuned. We'll let you know when that's all together and when we're going to start that. But yeah, so Shlong's killing it with the live tweeting. And then eventually he's going to live tweet it and then we're going to talk about it kind of right after it happened. So stay tuned. We're getting that together. And I should also mention before we kind of get into gear with this show, clearly Matt is not here. He did, I mean, no shoot to, we'll give it a shoot. He's actually working a late shift tonight. So I actually don't even want to make
late show tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to make something up because I feel so bad because, he's working like midnight to 3:30 AM slinging pies. Yeah. Like that's just crazy. But, he should be back with us again. His schedule, he told us, is going to start to lighten out as the fall, you know, gets deeper and deeper into the season. So Matt will be back eventually. And then we'll also have a couple. We don't know what's going to happen over the next couple weeks because Dynamite's not on next week, right? So we'll come on. Maybe we'll just talk about Rampage and Elevation and Dark next week, Ryan. That'll be fun on a Wednesday night.
That might be dope.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. And then the following week, I think they might be on Saturday again. I'll have to check the schedule. I can't even remember. And of course, this is because the hockey season is kicking off, and TNT now has hockey as part of their sports, you know, programming. So they're kind of getting displaced for a couple weeks, so we'll see what happens. Then they're going to make their jump to TBS, and we got a little bit of talk about that. But guys, why don't we start at Rampage from last Friday, October 1st. And the first match we had that night was Bryan Danielson versus Nick Cage.
Nick Jackson.
Nick Jackson. Wow.
Did you say Nick Gage or Nick Cage?
I think I said Cage because I was looking at something and Brian Cage is in front of me. So I just said Cage.
Because so that would, works. Like, Gage is one thing. Cage would be amazing.
Oh my gosh. In a battle for the Declaration of Independence. Brian Danielson. The American Dragon.
Yeah. Versus what the Wicker Man.
That's right. Bees!
Yeah.
That was a hell of a match to start the show.
Yeah, we'll cut to the finish. Bryan Danielson defeats Nick Cage. But Kate, you want to give your take on this match?
Oh, just... It seems like in his first few matches back, Bryan Danielson has been like, I'm just going to fucking do all the stuff that I didn't do in WWE. Not to make it anti-Fed, but he was not pulling out, like, dragon sleepers with regularity in WWE and some of this incredible technical wrestling we've seen. Very cool that people got to see what Nick Jackson can do as an individual, too. Like, he's so good with his brother in the tag team wrestling, but I feel like he... is such an outstanding in-ring performer. Matt's wonderful too. He's one of the best sellers in tag wrestling, but like if they wanted to give Nick Jackson a singles run, if they want to turn them on each other at some point, they certainly could. This was a really, really, really great showcase of what they got to do. And that like, whatever that's what was the spot that went into the dragon sleeper? What was the ridiculous move that happened before it? Like, there was just so many technical sequences that were so great to see Brian Danielson be doing. But that ending sequence was just like, blew my freaking mind. I can't remember what it was right now. But
yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good stuff. Sorry, Kate. There was a ton of good stuff. I mean, like, there was the chest kicks, right? And then Danielson spits in Nick Jackson's face. Like, I mean, just like stuff that he would never do in the other company, you know? And especially now seemingly turning the cattle mutilation into a...
That's what I was trying to think of.
just awesome stuff.
Unreal, that cattle mutilation. Yeah. What a cool spot. Just really great seeing the type of wrestling that he was. And actually, Ryan had tweeted about this from the Mark Order account. He didn't see the American Dragon. He didn't see ROH Brian Danielson. So it's just very cool that a whole other generation of wrestling fans or fans that are returning to wrestling are getting to see this version of him again. And the fact that he is, you know, 15 years later or whatever, able to maintain such a high caliber of technical wrestling is just so awesome. So I understand why they started the show with this, but to me, this was the main event.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had main event written all over it. But I'm with you. Like, how else are you going to start this show? I mean, this is the hottest way to start.
At 10 o'clock.
And yeah. And Kate, like you mentioned, you know, Schlong kind of never witnessed the Ring of Honor Danielson. So Schlong, this is now, the second time, right, that we had seen Danielson in a singles match in AEW. So, what did you think about this match?
So, I mean, I love the match. I mean, and just not to discredit Nick Jackson, because he, like, you talk so much about Brian Danielson, it does almost feel like you're saying, well, who's Nick Jackson? But Nick Jackson is awesome. He does so much so well. Like, he really has a more rounded game than you would think. He's not just a flippy guy. He's not, like, he can do everything. But this Daniel Bryan Brian Danielson, that's just it. I'm seeing Brian Danielson. I'm not seeing Daniel Bryan. And that's not even an insult to his WWE character. I loved his WWE character. It was just different. Like I said tonight, even he was cool in WWE, but he was like the underdog cool, like that friend who shouldn't be winning, but is. Here, he's the badass cool. Like, he's the guy who's just kicking everyone's ass and loving it. Both seem so natural. I never knew he had this side of him, because I hate to say, because of his size, I didn't think he'd be such a badass. But and he's believable because he's so technically sound. You're like, you know, that's the one thing. I know MMA has weight classes now, so it kind of starts to kill the small guy versus big guy thing again. But the one thing that MMA helped with is if you're really much better technically than everyone else, you can be believably a badass. And that's, he kind of pulls that off as like, you know, I'm doing really hard hitting moves. I'm moving fast and I look violent.
Yeah.
And I think that's the bigger thing. Like, everything he does looks more violent now. You know, he doesn't have that face, I'm doing a move just to survive. It's that face, I'm trying to kick your fucking head off. And I love it.
I'm loving this version. That is ROH Brian Danielson. But I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's so cool to me that he and Punk returned at similar times, because I feel like they both provide such value in such different ways. Like, they have such different strengths. And I love seeing them both back helping these young guys. Like, we'll get into it later. We're going to see Punk and Daniel Garcia, but like, seeing what Daniel Bryan's doing in the ring and how that's going to help the younger crop of wrestlers, and seeing what Punk does on the mic and the more storytelling heavy side, not that Danielson doesn't have that, but you know, clearly Danielson's one of the best technical wrestlers in the world, and Punk has completely different strengths. Like, seeing two of the best at their strengths doing what they do on the same show in this way, as seasoned as they are, is so fascinating to me that they came in at the same time to provide that. Like, I am absolutely in love with seeing them on the same show helping this product in very different ways.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I do want to call out Asian Joe said the best part about Brian is that he doesn't have to play a character version of himself anymore. He can be a dude who just loves to wrestle, which is absolutely true. I mean, you know, the other system he was in the E, you have to be a character. Even if it's yourself turned up, you're a character. You can't just be a guy who likes wrestling. Like, and that's what's so great is that now he has more freedom to kind of do what he wants in the ring. I mean, Jesus, I think in this match too, he took a German suplex on the ring apron. Do you think they ever would have allowed that to happen?
No. I'm not sure AEW should. Like, I don't know if that's the wisest thing, but if he feels comfortable doing it and is cleared to, by all means. But, and sure. To Ryan's point before, like, I loved his Planets Champion run. I loved a lot of the work that he did, but this is just such a completely different showcase as Asian Joe was pointing out too, because it's also the story that he entered into, right? Like, he entered into a story where they were like, we're just going to give you the dream match right now of, like, here's two of the best to ever do it. And that's how you're coming in. Like, what a welcoming into the company. You can just go be this guy who's literally one of the best to ever do it. Absolutely, absolute gangbusters to have him go from Omega to Nick Jackson like this. So in on it. Yeah. So well done.
Really well done. And then after this match, they did have a brawl breakout in the ring between the Elite, Jurassic Express, Christian, and Danielson. Jungle Boy is able to get Adam Cole in the snare trap, and Brian gets Kenny in the lapel lock. And both Adam Cole and Kenny Omega tap out at the same time. So interesting to see how they're playing this up. Obviously leading into tonight, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. We also saw Hobbs and Hook throw to a video package where Ricky Starks is talking shit on Brian Cage. And then he joins the commentary team on Rampage. So that was fun. We have a CM Punk tape promo where he talks about fighting the best people in AEW. Whoever's going to step up is going to go to sleep. So, you know, again, these guys, kind of a mixture here in these video packages, right? You know, Ricky Starks, younger guy, someone who they bought in over the pandemic, who's been able to do really well with them, and CM Punk just talking about wanting to face the best talent. You know, kind of fun to see two kind of opposite sides of the spectrum for AEW. A guy they bought in, who's younger over the pandemic and sort of a quote-unquote, you know, homegrown talent, because this is probably where the most eyes have seen Ricky Starks compared to CM Punk. But nothing really special to kind of chat about there. A couple good video packages. And then we get into the women's match. Thunder Rosa, Jade Cargill, and Nyla Rose in a three-way, no disqualification, anything goes match. And the finish came kind of after Thunder Rosa powerbombed Nyla Rose through a table on the outside of the ring. Rosa was trying to kind of drag Nyla into the ring, but Jade was able to blast her from behind with chair strikes, and then Cargill gets the win by pinning Thunder Rosa to remain undefeated in AEW. So, guys, shut the fuck up. We're talking about Jade here, but it's interesting to kind of see where they're putting Jade with these three women, right? Like, I mean, I think we all kind of thought that Jade was going to come out on top of this, but it's super interesting to see like Thunder Rosa, who is really held in really high regard and has a lot of wins, not kind of coming out on top of this match. Maybe they've got something else planned for her, but Shlong, I'll allow you to speak about Jade now. What did you think about Jade winning this match?
It was interesting. So I'm going to hold some of my thoughts for the discussion we're going to have about the new title, because I think this plays heavily into that. Rosa was protected because chair shots are what won it, and she was focused more on Nyla, and kind of Cargill kind of came in and stole it, if you want to say that. They were not the best chair shots, but I actually am okay with that. If you're not too familiar with delivering them, I'd rather you go lighter than too heavy, because you could hurt someone, so I can't really blame her for that. I think it makes sense. No one expected Nyla to win. Nyla's had a couple shots. They need to figure out something to do with her. And again, that's not an insult to her. It's an insult to the booking they've given her. You know, you every time you give her a shot at the title, she loses. You have to think of something else. Thunder Rose, again, this didn't hurt her. I have opinions on where she's going next. But Jade couldn't lose this match. I felt if she had lost this match, I think it would have really stunted her growth, because she is coming out all personality, all show. An early loss on her record, just I think it rings wrong. I think people will be like, well, then who are you? And in this, again, I feel like I'm knocking another company when I say an AEW, but I'm just saying the fans here do focus on like, well, you lost here or you did this. Like, that does matter. So they, I think it could kill her push if she had this loss. Where she goes from here, I don't think she's set up for the title later, but maybe she is. I mean, she is a star. She's just a star who needs people around her to work the matches. But I'm okay with that because she is a star. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in Ryan's camp on this. When I talked about this on Friday with Sean, he said that those chair shots looked like video game chair shots, which I thought was pretty accurate. And to his point, too, on Friday, he had said that, you know, knowing Thunder Rosa, he would, like, you know, Thunder Rosa was probably like, lay your shit in, but better safe than sorry. That was the only kind of problematic thing in this match for me. I absolutely think the right person won. Jade is ranked number one, so I'm guessing she might be headed into something with Britt and not in this lower title picture. Is she there ring-wise? No. Is that going to be an incredible collision of egos? Yeah, that's going to be real fun. So, you know, they signed Kira Hogan. I would love to see Kira Hogan be her muscle, especially with Britt, obviously having Jamie and Rebel Reba. So I think that could be really fun and a good way to protect Jade as well. But this match was fine. Rosa doesn't really need it. I do think that she might be your initial title holder, at least in the finals of this new belt that we're going to talk about later. And Nyla certainly didn't. So I think the right woman won. The only problematic thing in the match itself for me was those chair shots. They protected the hell out of Jade. This was a well-constructed match. Not the best one I've ever seen, but it got the job done. Also, hi, Berg. Nice to see you. And hi, everybody in the chat. Thank you for watching along with us.
And to Kate's point, Mike Peterson said Jade versus Britt would be a lot of fun promos.
Yeah.
And Kate is right and Mike is right. There's no question. Everything outside of the ring would be amazing. I'm a little worried about what in the ring would look like. But so long as it's not terrible, I'm okay with it, because I can live with not the greatest match if you give me everything else.
And like, that's okay. Like, if you need to have it be a short match where Britt is mostly fighting from behind and then sneaks a win to make Jade look good, that's fine. This doesn't have to be the longest feud in the world. It's not going to be the best technical wrestling we've seen. Give us awesome promos and matches that you can get by with. That's okay for me, because we got a great match with Chris Statlander. Britt has like really leveled up in matches where her opponents are her level or better. So God, give us that, and then give us Serena Deeb on the back end of that or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. Not every feud has to be perfect. But a collision of egos with Jade, I think, would be such a blast.
Yeah. I'm just concerned with the build to this, right? Like, cause I think that everybody's pretty much said it. We all think that Jade is going to kind of be the next up for Britt at some point, right? Even though that we'll talk about the TBS belt that they announced tonight. You know, I think that's next up, but I'm just concerned that they're not going to really build this, and it needs a little bit of build. It needs to feel more important because Jade is undefeated. So if she's going to take her first loss to Britt, because I don't think they're going to just let Britt lose to Jade Cargill. We're not all that stupid. But I think they just need to make sure that they build this properly, right? Like, we've seen them do it.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask, when is Full Gear? Like, do you know the date of it?
Full Gear is, sorry, I have it in front of me. Give me a second. Full Gear is November 13th.
Okay. So
we are a little over a month away.
Maybe that's your pay-per-view match. Maybe they're going to build that out.
Very well could be. I mean, if you look at the poster, Britt is kind of front and center in the artwork. So you would assume they're going to have a women's title match. They're not just going to skip over that. But I just hope that they build it properly, because we've seen them do it in the past before, right? Like some of these feuds, like with Chris, it was a very short build to that match, but I think it worked because Chris doesn't really talk that much, right? So it's a lot of nonverbal kind of build, right? A lot of posturing.
And I just it was hope... like a great match.
Like, right.
One of the right. strongest of Britt's reign, for sure.
Yeah, that's my one concern here is that they don't build this properly. And then the match just is a huge turd right in the middle of the card. Like, that would just be the worst thing they could do. But we'll see where this goes. There's a lot of spoons in the porridge, as our other friend Matt says.
Sad we didn't kayfabe a reason for him not to be here, because we could have just said that he was watching Roads to the Top because they're doing two episodes back to back. Like, hey, he really wanted to be there, but he just can't get enough of this
he's
Roads
hooked.
To the Top.
He's addicted. He just can't stop.
Oh boy. Well, I mean, it would have put me past if Millionaire Matt is checking out Roads to the Top while he's on his way to work.
That's true.
He is a huge Brandy mark. We know that.
In ring only, but yeah.
Yes. So we also get a pre-taped promo with Malakai Black. He says he hopes the black mist seeps into every nook and cranny of Cody's body. Cody doesn't have what it takes to beat him, so they're still kind of playing this Cody Rhodes angle. They also let us know about the ladder match that we saw tonight. Mark Henry does a quick interview with Orange Cassidy and Jack Evans before the main event. Orange Cassidy does not know that his hair is on the line in the main event. And then we go to the main event, which is Orange Cassidy versus Jack Evans in a hair versus hair match, the first in AEW. Orange Cassidy, I think, to no one's surprise, winds up winning this match. And then, they shave Jack's head afterwards. I was a little shocked that it actually happened like it did. But we should also note that Matt Hardy pulled the troops back rather than try to save Evans during the head shaving. And the good guys celebrated in the ring with Brody Lee Jr. as the show kind of got close to the end. And then they announced that Orange Cassidy and Matt Hardy were going to be in the casino ladder match that we saw tonight. Guys, hair versus hair match. I mean, it's not a gimmick I love. Kate, what do you think about the hair versus hair? Did this work?
When you open with Nick Jackson and Bryan Danielson and this closes the show, that like didn't really work for me. The match was fine. Hair versus hair is stupid, but fine. I did love that Orange Cassidy didn't know what was going on and that Jack Evans didn't agree to it. Like, I loved that Matt Hardy was the only one and he wasn't actually in the match, but he was like the only guy who knew what was happening and agreed to what was happening. So that was kind of a fun wrinkle for me, but I'm just kind of like, that should have got on in the middle and the women should have closed it out, or Danielson and Jackson should have closed it out. Like, this didn't feel main event-ish to me. The women probably should have closed it out. That would have been cool. So it was exactly fine. Did it feel like the main event or like it had any real importance? Absolutely not. But it was fine.
I still just don't understand what led to hair versus hair, even if it was going to be Matt Hardy. It just came out of nowhere. They never really explained it.
No, it came from Newark when they cut off that definitely not a plant's hair, remember? In the ring?
Well, no, I remember that, but like it literally, like that's where they actually cut somebody's hair off. But like the week prior, like for some reason, Matt Hardy like was about to cut his hair. Like Orange Cassidy's hair. It just, what I'm saying is the whole start was kind of unexplained. Like why Matt Hardy was so stuck on his hair. Because Orange Cassidy doesn't even necessarily make his whole thing like about his hair and like don't touch the hair, you know, or long flowing locks. Go ahead.
However, very Uncle Jesse. When he does that no arm kip up, he always flips the hair back. It's like part of his thing. So you would be taking he looks at the hard cam and he does it. I'm applying logic to where there is none. Give me a second here. I'm just saying that might be the only thing. Plus, how cool can you be once you've had your head shaved on national TV? So you could say like that was like an embarrassing thing for Orange if it had happened. I'm guessing Jack Evans really just came to Matt Hardy and was like, hey, I'm getting my hair cut. Can we do anything with this? And they're like, got it. Hair versus hair. Because, they, you know, should, that's,
I hope they donated it then.
I almost guarantee they did.
They must have. They're very good about their like goodwill
stuff. And seeing the best friends dressed up as barbers was just perfect for me.
Touche.
I love silly matches. I won't lie. As long as everything else around it is good. You can't have all silly because then it just starts to wear out. But you started with such an amazing match, which I get. Again, we all understand why that started. Everyone's tuning over from whatever. Hook them early. So you can do then a silly match with hair versus hair. Should it have been the last one? Probably not. I mean, Orange is very over, so you get the cheers. And you get, but they wanted the feel-good moment at the end. That's why it went last. Is Brody Lee Jr. in the ring, on the shoulders, getting the glasses and the fake mustache. I'm okay with that because that is 100% where they went. They went with that. That was why they did it. There's no argument. Like, that is what was for.
Aaron Cotter in the chat saying, definitely not the gear maker's hair. Was the gear maker the plant? Is that a thing? Is that what that was in reference to, Aaron? If you could confirm it for us, that would be really cool. I didn't
mean the person they said that looked like Orange Cassidy, but 100% just looked like me.
Yes, with a denim jacket. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so funny. If that is, that person did a very good job, like pretended not to know how to get into the ring and out of the ring. Like they actually did a really good job. I assumed it was just an indie plant, but if that's their gear maker, even better on them. That rules. Definitely looks like Drew Cordero from Beyond.
Mike Peterson did say he kind of wanted to see OC lose just to see him not care when he got his head shaved. That also would have been very fun, but then you totally, I think, lose. Like, you would lose the cool guy image, right? But, yeah. I mean, don't say you're not cool if you don't have hair to Johnny Hungy, because that guy will tell you you're cool as fuck if you don't have hair.
You could be cool and not have hair. You can't be shaved bald on TV and keep the cool. There's a difference there. And just to your point, Kate, Aaron said she's pretty sure the plant was one of the on-staff gear makers.
Gosh. So I love that. Really cool. That rules.
And also, I'm going to
grab a water really fast.
While Kate grabs her water, I'll point this out. I like the fact that the Dark Order had somewhat been feuding with the Hardy family. Obviously, the best friends were. So you had a logic for them to come out. That's the kind of stuff you can do when you let people feud with more than one person at one time. You can have these moments where things kind of flow in together and then it doesn't seem out of place. Like the Dark Order coming out wasn't like, why are they here? It's like, no, they don't like Hardy either. So it made sense.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, listen, did I have an issue kind of with, you know, anything kind of around all the feuds going on? Absolutely not. I think it was just, to me, again, what was weird was all of a sudden, like, hair was the stipulation, all of a sudden Matt Hardy, like, that was just like, what haven't we done that we can do? Oh, I know, hair versus hair, and that always works.
Also, they are a stable of jobbers. Like, they lose all the time, that Hardy family office. I don't know how much longer they can justifiably stay together, other than Bunny.
I mean, it does look like possibly Jack Evans and I guess TH2 would technically maybe have been put out of the Hardy family office because they didn't really save him. Private Party doesn't lose all that often when they're wrestling on the darks, right, Ryan? Like they win.
They get their wins. They don't
necessarily
there.
Get shelled. Yeah,
they don't, but they're not being built right now like you see a lot of people in the darks. Like a lot, if I think they're building a tag team up, like they're doing it with Santana Ortiz, where they've had like three or four big wins, some on dark, some on actual TV, and you're like, okay, they're rebuilding them. They're not really doing that with Private Party. But I'm almost wondering if that's half the joke with the Hardy family, is that Matt's selling this gimmick and his people can't win. So eventually they're going to turn on him. Some will stay with him, but that's how you get some of these people to go face. Like maybe Private Party turns face because they turn on Matt Hardy being like, you've given us nothing.
Yeah.
We lose. That's
fair. Yep. I just hope they call that out.
Oh yeah. If they don't, then it's a waste.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with you, Kate. Like I just don't see this lasting much longer. And I'd be fine with that because there's enough other stables to kind of deal with that aren't really doing anything. You know, Like, the Pinnacle's not really a full stable. I mean, we'll talk about the Pinnacle later in a little bit. The Inner Circle's not really a set stable. We'll talk a little bit about them later, too.
I just want to interrupt with some breaking news that Bobby Fish is officially All Elite. They posted the graphic, so welcome, Bobby Fish, to the team.
Yo,
going to be interesting for Kyle O'Reilly very soon.
Yeah, I mean, I love Bobby Fish. I think he could do good stuff there. And he has a history with Adam Cole, so there's always a little bit of story you could tell there. So, I mean, listen, I think Bobby Fish fits in. So I'm glad that he's there. And even his video package they did like a 6-minute episode of, you know, the road to Dynamite this week. And Bobby Fish and Sammy was the bulk of that. And Bobby Fish's video is really great. He's talking about, you know, when you see kind of the excitement and the passion for everybody involved with the company, like, that's where I want to be. Like, I don't want to be anywhere else. So I thought he had a really
Real
good
quick, I have
we'll talk
ask.
About that match. I don't want to. Yeah, yeah.
We can talk about the match later, but I have to ask because I did tweet it. Am I the only one who thinks, no matter how often they've heard Bobby Fish talk, think every time he's going to talk, he's going to be British?
Yeah,
I don't
like,
think that, but I can understand why you would. He definitely looks like he would be.
Like, I've heard him talk 20 times, but I'm like, he's going to be British.
I never think British, but I definitely always am like, he definitely doesn't look like his voice sounds like that. Almost like Andy, right? Like, you see Andy and then Andy talks and it just doesn't match.
It doesn't line up.
Right? Like, that's always kind of what I think with Bobby Fish, but you know what? I think he's in a great spot now. So good for Bobby Fish. Good for Bobby Fish. All right, guys. I think this is a good time for us to break before we get into the bulk of what we're here to talk about, Dynamite. So let's take a little break. I want to remind everybody out there that if you'd like to receive some Mark Order Podcast stickers for free, all you got to do is hit us up on social. We can be found at Mark Order Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just DM us. Let us know your name and address. We'll take care of the rest. You don't have to provide any self-addressed stamped envelopes or anything like that. We'll ship them anywhere in the world. So just let us know where you need stickers, and I'll send them out. Got a couple I got to send out today. So thank you to everybody who requested them. But let's take a break right now because, guys, we're part of the wonderful Shining Wizards Network. I don't know if you know, there's a lot of really nice content on that network. I think we're the best, of course.
Obviously.
But if you guys listening out there don't know, the Shining Wizards Network is awesome. Check out some of these words from the other great shows on the Shining Wizards Network.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantDMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Brea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
We're back here on the Mark Order podcast. Shlong, where'd you move to now? Is that just downtown Philly?
That's Philly. It's just whatever to keep trolling you.
such an unimpressive skyline. What do you think, Kate? As you drink, my bad.
No, all good. It's one of the most medium skylines the Northeast has to offer. I'll put it that way.
I almost just made a comment that would get me canceled,
so I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
I don't even know if I'd say medium. Thank you. It's mid.
It's mid.
It is definitely
mid. Definitely mid.
So, guys, you know what time of the night it is. It's time to run through the rankings. So we actually have rankings this week. Kate, you want to raffle?
No, I'm still under the weather.
Well, I wish that we had BTE rankings to go through, but I haven't seen them yet by 2.0. So we'll just have to go with our standard rankings. Really quick, we're just going to run through them. Here's the rankings from before Dynamite tonight. In the men's division, we know who our champions are. Kenny Omega and Sammy Guevara. Number one, Orange Cassidy. Number two, Jon Moxley. Number three, Lance Archer. Four, Miro. And number five, Christian Cage. So Lance Archer kind of jumps in. Miro's in the rankings now because he lost the title to Sammy. And Christian dips down. In the women's division, our number one contender, as we said before, is Jade Cargill. Number two, I still don't know how to say this name, Hikaru Shida.
Yeah, the girl with the bob.
I'll get it. I'll get it at some point. I'll get it. Number three, Tay Conti. Number four, Chris Statlander. Number five, Thunder Rosa. And our champ, of course, is Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. update. In the tag division, our champs are the Lucha Brothers, number one, the Acclaim, number two, the Young Bucks, three, Jurassic Express, four, FTR, and five, Private Party. Look at that. Just chalking up wins on Dark. I mean, to be honest, this is the one where if you asked me, like, can you give me any reason why these rankings look like this in the tag division, I could say no. No goddamn clue.
Nope.
But that's it. We don't need to go through anything else. And yes, Berg, the rankings are Kate's fave. That's why we do them. She tells us we can't remove them.
As I sit here with my positivity sweatshirt and just hate on the rankings so much.
Well, there's no reason to hate on Dynamite. I know that much. Dynamite, this was their big show, the 2-year anniversary of Dynamite. Get the BS. No more BS.
No more BS.
No more BS. It's just Tall Paul. So we were live in Philly tonight. Ryan, I'm going to have to ask you, because I honestly don't know, what college was that they were at?
Temple.
Oh, it was Temple. Okay. I thought it was, and then I second-guessed myself. So they were live from Temple tonight. Lit up crowd. The show opened with the big tag match, The Elite versus Bryan Danielson, Christian Cage, Jurassic Express. Let's not even kind of dig too deep into it before we let you know that The Elite win by pinfall with a 4-man BTE trigger on Jungle Boy Jack Perry. During this match, we did see Christian Cage let off with what appeared to be a quote unquote neck injury. So the baby faces here were a little shorthanded against the heels. But either way, Ryan, I know you're an elite mark, so why don't you lead off and tell us what you thought about this match?
I was wondering what Kate was doing. Sorry, she was doing the boom, but she... Boom. The match was awesome. I'm going to start out. I love that all the guys were in the ring to start. I know they did the introduction on social, but I just like that the start of the show was everyone in the ring. I think that's always a fun touch because it's not always done. It was an awesome match. Couple weird spots here and there. You know, you had the powerbomb botch, which I think they ended up making work, and Shivani of all people really covered for it, being like, Luchasaurus is just too heavy. I'm like, you know what, thank you, someone trying to cover what happened there. There was another weird spot, but when you're trying that many insane things in a row, it's gonna happen. Luchasaurus was over as fuck. He was getting all the chance. I think he's been rebuilding his persona back up, because this is the second or third match in a row for him where he just got to come in and kick ass, which for a while he wasn't doing. So I'm loving that. Poor Marco got super kicked. I wasn't happy about that.
I'm sure Matt, that's why Matt's not here tonight. He's upset that Marco got put out like that.
Well, they eliminated the biggest threat. They're like, who do we got to get rid of?
Marco
Stunt. Gotta get rid of Marco Stunt.
Yep.
It was awesome, and it made sense. Get Christian out through some nefarious means, so that the good guys could lose without losing face, you know, for lack of a better term. But they stay strong because they were outnumbered. The Elite had to win. I laugh because that kissing thing they do with Adam Cole, the same exact scenario as they did the previous week, and it's still so fucking over. I love it. It's like, that's when you know what you're doing is working, that you could literally repeat the exact spot, except they didn't kick him at the end, but you could repeat the exact spot and everybody's like, we love this, do it. So this was perfect. I think it's a great way to start this show.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to bring this up. Sorry, Kate, because Ryan had kind of mentioned it. There were some kind of weird spots, botchy spots, right? The Luchasaurus powerbomb that they couldn't pull off, that they did try to cover for. I also need to call out the, I don't remember what they call the move, but when Nick Jackson's on the outside with the tombstone, and Matt Jackson, you know, jumps over the top rope to kind of assist
the
with
indie
that.
Driver.
That didn't the indie driver. There you go.
That's the one that put Christian Cage out.
That's right. That move didn't necessarily look like they were lined up correctly. Like, you know, it just was a little too far. And then the other one that I audibly, Mrs. Money thought I was going to have a heart attack because I gasped when Jungle Boy went over the top rope, I think, to do a Hurricane Rana to the outside, almost completely missed. And kind of almost fell on his head. Just some weird stuff. Kate, I actually wanted to ask your opinion. Were you surprised at some of those kind of like missed botchy spots for all of these guys who are so high caliber in the ring?
Yeah, this was a sloppy little opener, huh? I was surprised at what was sloppy. Not so much the power bomb, because that literally, I kind of bought what Shivani sold me. Like I kind of think maybe he's just a really heavy guy and some weird stuff happened. The indie driver is something that I'm confused that they pull it off as well as they do, as often as they do, but that just looked weird. There were just it was what was a little botchy that kind of puzzled me, because it's not the most elaborate or unique and challenging things that they do. But a fun opener, nonetheless. You attempt enough stuff, like Ryan said, some things are going to get screwed up from time to time as Ryan travels all around Philadelphia. For those of you listening in podcast form, he's clearly taking a nice travel around the city and ending up.
Hold on a second. I was told by Mike Peterson to put up a picture of Simone Gagné, which I've done, but unfortunately, it lines up perfectly with my chair. So behind me is Simone Gagné. But it lines up, I can't even get out of the way enough to do
it. Well, Mike Peterson's not a producer on this show. So.
Yeah, but I liked the idea because then it put me in the arena. And I was there for that goal, so I was happy.
I've heard that you've got to give the people what they want in my life.
That's how AEW's doing it.
Yeah. So, and Mike Peterson is one of our best friends. Slappy opener, I didn't really care. To me, it almost felt like when you see like a pitcher who goes out and he's like too pumped up, like he has too much adrenaline and can't like get it together until he settles down in the second inning. That's kind of what matches like this feel like to me a little bit. I like that they start in the ring. I like that they start with high energy multi-man matches. This wasn't the best one. It definitely wasn't the worst one I've ever seen either. I like protected spots. That heat spot with Cole, it pops me every time. I'm glad they keep doing it. I'm glad other people love it as much as I do. It genuinely makes me laugh out loud every single time. It's amazing how short of a time Cole has been here and how easily he's assimilated. And again, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. He hasn't worked arenas before. Like, he only worked NXT and then in COVID. So to see him getting the pop that he gets and the appreciation that he gets is really heartwarming to me. I know he's a heel right now and doing heel things, but like, the pop is deafening. It was the loudest I think that I heard at Arthur Ashe. So just very nice to see that. Not the best opener, not the worst. The rest of this card was great, so I didn't really care. But fun nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be clear. Like, I don't think that those sloppy spots or the botchy spots really kind of took me all the way out of it. I still thought that this was a good match and another, you know, chance to see Danielson in the ring with these guys and just still to kind of be like, I can't believe I see him anywhere else, you know, like besides a Federation ring. So I still enjoyed this match, and it went the way it needed to go. And we'll see what happens, with the Elite now moving forward. So after they come back from the break, we do get a video promo from, John Moxley talking about there's nobody in AEW that can beat him. And he's been in ladder matches and where better to be stupid with ladders in Philadelphia. He also says that, you know, he's a little crazy cause he's got a 3-month-old daughter at home. Yeah, he's probably running a little crazy, but another good promo from Moxley. And then we have CM Punk make his entrance to get on the mic. He does another stage dive. It was very close. Very close to not clearing that that barricade all the way. So I wonder how much longer he's going to do that. But regardless, he asks the crowd if anybody's tired of the Love Fest before saying that he isn't. He's going to keep it going before talking about his new sneakers. He talks about how he lived in Philadelphia for some years in the early 2000s and then wrestled or ran wrestling school every day of the week. He loved Philly because it gave him so much. And the money he made wrestling around the world, he bought himself an iPod and a computer because he was rich. Not just with money, but spiritually, because wrestling community. And he's glad he's back in that community. He talks about two things. He could buy everybody cheesecakes, or is it cheesesteaks? Which I was like, come on, man. You know it's Philly cheesesteaks. Come on. And that the crowd has a choice. He can either buy them all cheesesteaks or wrestle. He then proceeds to call out Daniel Garcia and says that on Friday night, he hopes to see Daniel Garcia in the ring for Rampage. And then before he leaves, he takes off his Air Force, or I'm sorry, his Jordans, not his Air Force Ones. He takes off his Jordans and gives them to a young man in the crowd, which was pretty cool. So, Kate, I need to say this. Asian Joe says, as a sneakerhead, Punk wearing lower tier Jordan ones that looked like his 1K pair he bought on sneaker shopping was a smart move. I agree. You don't necessarily want to give those away. But Kate, you are a CM Punk mark, so I want to get your take on this first. But Kate, I do also need to ask this, because Mrs. Money was sitting watching the show with me tonight, as she always does, and she said, isn't it great to see, like, happy CM Punk? She's like, I remember sitting and watching him in the E, and he always looks so miserable. So it's just so much fun to see him actually happy to be there. Clearly, I think you feel the same way, but what's your take on the promo and that whole comment from Mrs. Money?
As usual, Mrs. Money on the money. She is so right, especially as big of a Punk mark as I am. I've talked at length about how influential he was in my wrestling fandom and his impact on me as a person. It's so funny because I kept being so astounded that he was working. So he's worked a lot of dates, whether it's commentary or in ring, like working a ton of dates. That's probably an iota of the schedule he used to keep. He's happy. He's healthy. It's so fun to see. It comes across very genuine. He seems really, really happy to be there. He said he's not sick of the Love Fest. I don't think the fans are either, especially in somewhere like Philadelphia. You know, he's at his best when he's a heel. And even though he's a face right now, Philly's a heel town, so they're going to love him. The only thing that I just don't need anymore, I don't need anybody talking about balls and promos. I watch a lot of wrestling, so I'm getting hit with this at WWE too, but like, no balls, Kenny Omega, Daniel Garcia, if you have the balls. I'm so sick of everybody talking about their balls, especially when we are no longer sponsored by Manscaped. That just rubs salt in the wounds. Just say something else, just anything else. I'm so burnt out on the, if you have the balls talk, let it go. Other than that, it was fine. And I'm very excited, that A, Punk is just like, I'm just going to come in and put over a bunch of young talent. You don't need to put me near the title forever. And, also I think that's going to be a great match on Rampage. Mike Peterson saying baseballs. I don't even want to talk about baseballs anymore after last night. So balls promos are low hanging fruit, Asian Joe. You're absolutely right. And hey, just like
there's a joke there you're missing.
Low hanging fruit. I see it.
Well, you were walking by it. I need to make sure it got appreciated.
I'm very sick.
See, I think real quick, I just want to comment on the balls thing. I agree
you
with
just
you.
Just want to comment on balls.
I do. But I agree with you on, in general, that it's a stupid promo at this point. It's like, Kenny No Balls only made me laugh because he got an entire arena to chant it, and I just think it's funny when a wrestler doesn't even have to say something intelligent and an entire arena will chant it. But does somebody have the balls to come out? I don't view that in the same light because that is such a common phrase in like any of that stuff of like, do you have the balls to fight me? Or do you have the balls to do like, it's different than like, how big are your balls? Or you don't have balls, or it just is. But I agree with you. Just get rid of it. Just say courage. Do you have the courage to fight me? But I also don't want to hold Punk to the fact that over in WWE, they're also now saying balls a lot.
Yeah, and it's not even about the insult that it is, because it's wrestling. Like, it's not about the edginess. It's cheap, but I'm just so sick of here. This is literally, like, the fifth balls promo that I've heard in the past 2 weeks of wrestling. It's the laziness of it, not even, like, the anatomy piece of it, as lame as that is, too. But I'm like, I'm just do a better job than that, everybody, across the board. But other than that, Gangbusters, very excited for that match. They have an incredible amount of faith in Daniel Garcia, clearly. They keep putting him in really big spots. Sorry, people in the chat, for the fucking lame-ass trolls who have nothing better to do with their life than be pieces of shit in our trap. Fuck off forever. We're working
on it. Yeah, it's just so you know, a little inside baseball schlong. They're gone. So even though they're
okay,
you know.
So I'm seeing it, but no one else has to see those stupid comments.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that's all I care about because I'm blocking them as soon as I see them come up, but I don't want to.
Yeah, it's all good. I double checked. We're good. People are fucking idiots. Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought that this was a really good promo. You know. My one thing is I still think it's really cool that, you know, like Punk is here, right? And he's had his match at the pay-per-view, and then he's wrestled on Rampage against Hobbs. I mean, his match at the pay-per-view was against Darby Allin. Then he wrestled Hobbs on Rampage. Now he's going to wrestle Garcia on Rampage. Not only is he not working like the flagship show, like wrestling, he's working their Friday Night Late Show and working with young talent. I think that's the coolest fucking thing you could do as a guy who hasn't been wrestling in like 7 years, right? To then say, I want to get in the ring with these young guys and help lift them up and, you know, just give a rub during the regular show through commentary or coming and cutting a promo. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and likely coming back for Starks. You know what I mean? Like, that's just
sure.
Like, he is not there to, he's not like, and being a title holder was a part of my deal, clearly. Like, he is fine.
Right.
Doing exactly what he's doing, which is cool.
Well, moving on from that, guys, amazing. We got an Arm Anderson promo here, or a video package. Yeah. Where he gives his take on the Malakai Black versus Cody feud. Basically, says he's starting a fire outside Cody's house. And then he starts a fire and burns a suit. Like, what the hell is Arn Anderson doing? I'd rather see him just
arson. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm so in on like Arn Ander Arson. Arson Anderson.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in.
Arson Anderson cracked me up when I saw it.
He makes Cody take off his tie, you know, and then like slaps him in the face. Like, this is such a crazy, it's such a crazy story. Like, just that Arn Anderson's like Kate said, talking about guns, talking about, burning stuff. Sorry, I'm reading some of the comments as I'm talking here. Mike Peterson says Armson. I like that. And then Asian Joe also says, give me an armed and dangerous Glock and Fire design shirt. Yeah, I will gladly take that. Sorry, armed and dangerous.
I was going to say, that's the pun on that one. That's perfect.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know where they're going with this. I said it in the Discord where this very much seemed to me almost like Rocky III. This hits very close to Schlong's heart. It was just like Rocky III, when Apollo Creed was trying to, you know, train Rocky, and Rocky's not getting it. And he's like, what's the matter with you? There is no tomorrow. That seems like this Arn Anderson. And I'm kind of all in for that. Schlong, you would like to comment?
Only you just got, like, I saw your comment in the Discord and I agreed, but then you just made me think, if this gives us a Cody Rhodes, Arn Anderson montage to Eye of the Tiger, I would lose my fucking shit. Just that'd be the best thing ever. Also, as someone who's had to go and get ties to match shirts quite often for work and whatnot, pink is not an easy color to match. There's lots of shades. So I really hope Cody has a spare tie, because that's fucked up. That's so hard to go replace to get one that matches as nicely. So I was a little angry on his behalf. I think the whole suit burning, tie burning thing is, like you said, you actually called it perfectly. It's Apollo trying to get Rocky. You're now in your suits and you're training fancy and you have this rich life. Remember who you are, where you came from, because that's the only way you're going to be, I would point out, or paint a star on your face. I would point out that where Cody theoretically came from in terms of this level of success was from being a heel.
Ooh.
Like, he was a, like, yeah. To get to like when he left WWE, if I recall, he was kind of heel for a lot of that.
Yes. A lot of his Ring of Honor run, especially, was heel Cody Rhodes. I popped so hard for that. You might as well paint a star on your face line. What a great line. I'm so glad you called that out, because I almost forgot. So good. So great. And I just want Arn Anderson to keep getting, like, committing more and more serious felonies until he attempts to murder Cody. That's all I want. Cody was an awesome heel, Mike Peterson. You're right.
And that's Arnery. Yes, Asian Joe. Yes.
For those of you listening in podcast form, Asian Joe chiming in with Arn is very Arnery lately. It makes me cough so much.
Cody's equivalent of Rocky South, you know, South Philadelphia is heel. So that could be like, and Arn would have no problem with Cody going heel, because that's how Arn worked for the majority of his career. So he'd be quite okay with you. And I think of a man who's willing to burn your suit or put a gun to your head, doesn't really care how you get the win, just that you get the win. At what point does he kidnap Brandy? I mean, I think that's like the next in the step of like,
the kid. Yes, got a kid.
Well, they would use the kid. They would.
They would.
Kidnapping. My gosh.
I love Cody. I have before. I like the story they're telling now. I think it's flowed well out of Malachi Black into this Arn Anderson thing. I think it's been an actual very smooth transition and very logical. So I'm all for this.
I will say too, hearing the reaction for Malachi tonight, I think a lot of why Cody got booed is just how over Malachi Black is. Holy crap. That was part of my suspicion anyway, was I was like, well, it's kind of hard not to root for this badass Malachi Black. And I get why people got tired of the Codyverse and whatever. Like, hearing the pop that he got tonight, I was like, oh, a lot of this just has to do with people really like Malachi Black, I think. Like, that was very, very, very evident tonight.
Yeah, and I also would like to say, since we were talking about heel Cody at one point, yes, his Ring of Honor heel persona was awesome. I loved every minute of it. But I also have to say that, Schlong, you might remember in his E days, you know, before Stardust, he was playing that character where he would hand out the bags to the front row.
God, because yes.
The people were so, after he had his like nose broken or whatever, and he had to wear his mask, and then he took the mask off and was giving bags to the people in the front row because they were so hideous and he was so gorgeous. That was one of my favorite Cody personas. I loved that. I thought that was hilarious. I just want to get that in.
I remember that one, and it was great. Cody Rhodes, I listened to an interview of his back then, and I remember him because he was talking about that gimmick. He's a comic book geek. I'm a comic book geek, so I'm not saying that insultingly. I'm saying that. But he puts a lot of thought into what he's doing. Like, when he was doing that run, I forget the way he described it, but he had given it this entire backstory of, like, what had happened and why the mask and why he feels ugly. Like, it was just – so nothing he does is shallow. So even in this, I'm willing to wait him out and be like, this feels like he's flexing some creative muscle on it. And I'm very interested to see where he goes. I feel like a lot of his character in AEW, for right or for wrong, he was needed to be a certain role and he's kind of stuck to that. They don't really need him as much for that role. So I'm kind of interested to see where he goes, flexing a little bit of that side of him, because he likes to get very crazy with his character in a good way. So I'm very curious.
Yeah, maybe that character, the stuff behind it was supposed to be like Dr. Doom, you know?
Yes, good call.
Well, we've just showed our nerddom. But I guess we're on a wrestling podcast, right? So
that explains that. Listen, if you're going to criticize me for being a nerd, anyone out there listening, you're listening to a wrestling podcast. We're all nerds. Just accept it, love it, own it, and just don't be a dick about it.
Yeah, very true. Don't be a dick. So we get a Bobby Fish hype reel, talking a little bit about Bobby Fish, and then Sammy also gets a little inset promo during the intro to this match where he gives Fuego del Sol a new truck and says he's going to beat Bobby Fish. I'll tell you, I'm going to give you a take on Fuego after we talk about this match a little bit, but I still say fuck Fuego. So we have Bobby Fish versus Sammy Guevara for the AEW TNT Championship. Don't make faces at me because you both are just sheep thinking that Fuego's awesome.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Cool Guy. I'm going to gatekeep liking Fuego.
He's the master of the Tornado DDT. I think it just hasn't occurred to you that he's the fucking master.
Well, I saw the master botch it live in Newark, so...
I didn't see that in the match, so it didn't happen.
All right, well, I guess my own eyes live deceived me.
You keep talking shit on Fuego? I'm sending Arn Anderson after you. You don't want that.
If Arn Anderson showed up with a Glock at my door. I would think it was so hilarious. So Bobby Fish versus Sammy Guevara for the AEW TNT Championship. I don't think it shocked anybody that Sammy Guevara wins by pinfall with the I don't remember what that final move is called. I know he hit the GTH, right? Is that what they're calling
the
it?
Go okay. to hell.
That's right. That's right. It's not the go to sleep. So he retained his AEW TNT Championship. And then we have some post-match antics where American Top Team come to the ring. Scorpio Sky attacks Guevara. Junior Dos Santos. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm skipping ahead. I figured we'd cover all this. My bad.
No, we would. I just really wanted to make this banner of it saying American Top Team attacks just because it's insane. The whole thing is just insane to me.
We'll talk about it. So American Top Team attacks. Junior Dos Santos is in on the beatdown. Fuego tries to make the save, and of course he gets his ass handed to him. And then Jericho, a couple of real men, Jericho and Hager run into even the odds.
So it took multiple, because Fuego went out by himself and he was taking it to Scorpio Sky, but he was outnumbered. So it took a couple guys to save the day. Don't give me that. Don't be coming down on Fuego.
American Top Team run off is
the purest thing in the world. Like, for Danny Jordan and for Fuego and for Marco, it just makes me so happy. He's so... Whenever anyone's like, oh, you fucking Mark, you're supposed to be a Mark. It's supposed to be fun. Ryan's a good example of that. Fuego is Mike Peterson.
He's not. I don't take being a mark for someone that in entertainment as like an insult when that's the whole point. Like, what the fuck am I watching for? Well, it's just Anne has bad opinions Fuego. On wrestlers. We get it.
I'm not watching for Fuego. If anything, I'm more likely to click the channel.
Boo.
There was also baseball on tonight. There's still baseball on. Yeah. So American Top Team runs off. Dan Lambert, asked for Judas to get cut off, but of course the crowd keeps singing. And then Lambert says that Tony Khan has all the stroke in the world, and they'll be in American Top Team's hometown of Miami, and he wants a six-man tag team, the Inner Circle versus the Men of the Year, and Junior Dos Santos and Jorge Masvidal will be in the corner for American Top Team. Jericho, while accepting the challenge, his mic does go out, but he does accept the challenge. So we have that lined up for the Miami Dynamite. So guys, let's get a couple things here. What did we think of the match? Yes, I can see the comment. Mike.
No,
Peterson,
no, but actually,
boo.
this is beyond just booing you for Fuego. Actually, this is relevant to what I'm going to comment on about something. It's the fact that as much as we all hate the Lambert thing, Jesus Christ, they didn't stop booing him. Like the entire time he talked, they were laying into him.
You are correct. So then, Schlong, let's get your take. Let's talk about the match and then let us know what you thought about the post-match.
Match was a lot of fun. I mean, as expected, you have two guys who can really go. It's good to see Bobby Fish is healthy. You know, towards the end of his NXT run, he was hurt, so I always wondered how he'd come back. It's crazy to think he's 44. He doesn't look it. He doesn't wrestle it. He's awesome. So it was a great match. I not related to the match, but related to the title. AEW wants the TNT title to be as important or just under the world title. Like, obviously, world title is world title, but they want, like, those champions are on par. The way they celebrated Sammy's victory goes a long way to that. Because if you treat winning it as this huge deal, then it matters. If winning it is just a nothing, then no one cares. So him winning it and the everyone coming out and the street, like, that mattered. Like, that was important. And it plays into this match of, like, he's got to defend it and he's very, you know, he's into it. And then he immediately has people coming after him for it. And Scorpio Sky's a great I don't want Scorpio Sky to win yet because I want Sammy to have a bit of a run, but I absolutely want Scorpio Sky taking his belt at some point. The promo, like, the post-match beatdown, Fuego did the best he could. Again, one man against many, it's just tough to do it. He fought Scorpio Sky hard, but then he got some help and it all leveled out. The crowd knew more of Judas than I thought they would, because that didn't end just at the chorus. That kind of had to go a little bit. We'll say it again and again and again. In case anyone's curious, Ethan Page just had a kid. That's why he wasn't there. Literally, I think today. So if you're wondering where he was, being a dad, which is awesome. And apparently they get a lot of time off to be a parent. So that's really cool there. And I'm not being sarcastic. I think that's awesome. But we've said this before. Scorpio Sky does not need American Top Team. He's awesome. He can talk. He can wrestle. There's nothing he gains from this. I don't even hate Dan Lambert in a, like, the wrong way. Like, I get why he's there. I think with the right person, he might have worked. And he clearly is getting a lot of heat. I just don't know if it's the good or bad kind. Scorpio is so good on his own. Scorpio and Ethan are so fucking good on their own. They don't need this. I don't know who I would have given. I mean, Kay says you give him to Hager. And that kind of makes sense because Hager's MMA. But then again, Hager's an Inner Circle. But that's a whole different issue. You could have given him to anyone. Of course, you could have Bobby Fish come in with them. Because Bobby Fish has worked MMA. Like, right. It could have been any, and he's not as good of a talker as the rest of them, so he might have been able to use that heat. Like, you just don't, you give it to two guys who don't need it at all. It feels like such a waste, and they almost feel like they're getting lost a little bit, and I don't like that. The one thing I will say, and then I'll pass it on, is that at least Jericho, I know people are making fun of it, Jericho, you know, kicking the shit out of Dos Santos, outstriking Dos Santos, and them getting the fighters out of the ring. You needed that. The pro wrestlers have to look strong, or it just destroys the fake reality you're trying to create. If you're saying because these guys are a real fighter, they're always going to win, then I can't enjoy this at all, because I'm living in this world where pro wrestling is on equal footing with MMA. It's just different. And you have to stick in that reality. If you lose it, it's like in the middle of a Marvel movie, you know, Tony Stark turning the camera and go, guys, you realize this is all CGI, right? Like, yeah. I can't do that. So I was very happy to see that they won the, that they let the wrestlers look just as strong.
Yeah, you definitely have to do that. I have so far liked Paige VanZant in her role. I think she's been really good. I think she gets it. To Ryan's point about the TNT title looking not that far away from the world title, it helps when your mid card is really fucking strong. Like, the title feels important because they've done a great job of building guys who will either hold that belt or are being built up to challenge for that belt feel important on the show. So I'm with you. The title feels very important. So do the people holding it and defending it. You know, Brody's legacy will always be attached to that title. I think it's beautiful. I think it's wonderful that he and Cody held it because they were positioned as top stars in the company. So it didn't feel like a diet belt in any way. And then Miro's whole run, I said it before and I'll say it again. Miro got built by that belt and he built that belt at the same time. How he managed to establish such a symbiotic relationship with it is so impressive to me still. And I was like, man, whoever he's going to drop that to, it's going to feel really important. And I think that's what we saw with Sammy Guevara tonight. I don't need to really add to the American Top Team picture other than saying that I think Van Zandt is good. It's getting a ton of heat. I think people like Lambert, even though they don't like who he's with. So they're going to play along. It's go home heat in my living room. I've said that on Twitter. I'll say it here. Like, I don't like it. And I don't know why we need like a rematch from this or like this to continue. I just, if the goal is to get to some sort of MMA angle with Hager, get there now. Like it's the least favorite thing that they're putting on my television every week at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not in on the American Top Team stuff. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again. I just don't care about MMA. That's going to make a difference for me in the wrestling ring. Like, I don't care. And I don't necessarily want to see MMA guys cross over. You know, I know that there are guys who are involved with MMA who are wrestlers. You know, obviously you have Brock and E, you know, Hager's done a little MMA. Obviously, Bobby Fish has trained and done some MMA, but like they're Rosa. Not MMA guys, Rosa too. But these are all not MMA people who came to wrestling. They are wrestlers who have done MMA, even CM Punk. I leave him out of, you know, I think we all want to forget about that. But, you know, it's not something that's for me. If you're into it, cool. Like Jorge Masvidal doesn't move the needle for me. I get that he's a name, Junior Dos Santos too, but just not for me. So we'll see how this goes when they meet in Miami. we also get a short promo from the Acclaimed here where Max Caster's rapping about how they want a title shot and they call out the Lucha Brothers. So we're going to get that match on Rampage, I believe. So we come back from commercial and Tony Schiavone is now in the ring for our big announcement. The big announcement winds up being what I think most people kind of thought it was going to be, was the TBS title belt. So Schiavone talks about the move to TBS and Aubrey Edwards basically introduces the mid-card, quote-unquote, women's championship, the AEW TBS championship, and they announced that it will be contested for the first time in a tournament on Dynamite on TBS on January 5th. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here, and I know we've talked about this a few times. We were talking about it a little bit in the Discord during the show. You know, I think that it's... Listen, is it a good thing that they're adding a second belt to the women's division to show that they want to have more importance on that division? Yes. Am I optimistic about how they pull it off? No. They are barely able to keep one belt interesting right now, and they've been able to do a good job with Britt Baker now holding the belt, and I think that is good because when, again, I'm not sure if I was saying the name right. Shida apparently held that belt. you know, it just wasn't really interesting and there weren't great stories. They've done a really good job with Britt. So the fact that they're now adding a second belt and they haven't necessarily proven that they've built consistent stories with the women on a consistent basis, or in my opinion, have not pulled off these, angles for the women's division to make it seem more important, like the title championship where they did it with the Japanese and American brackets and even some other stuff where we were hopeful that they were going to, you know, kind of supercharge and kickstart that women's division. Didn't really work. It doesn't make me hopeful that this is going to go over all that well. Kate, you have been super vocal. I hate we're always throwing to you to talk about this stuff first. But again, it's really because you've been super vocal about the women's division. And I think we're kind of on the same page. But, you know, the women's belt and what their plans are to kind of crown a champion. What are your thoughts on all of that?
I will say that I'm cautiously optimistic because while they've betrayed me with the Joshi tournament and the tag tournament didn't do much, though it did get Tay Conti signed, which ended up being great. to your point, as far as setting up stories, they have not done a good job. Now, the Battle Royal where Ruby debuted, they actually did set up some stories, which we're still seeing play out, which is good. Cautiously optimistic there. And just the division is so much better now. Like, I think between the injuries and the reliance on the Japanese women, you now have Kira Hogan, you have Diamante, you have Thunder Rosa, excuse me, you have Sky Blue, who has looked good in her young career, you have Ruby Soho, you have so many more women who are ready for Tay Conti, gosh, and Anna Jay's back. You have so many more women that are TV ready, women that have grown and come along in their own paths, and just better signings. What if they give it, nobody's even talked about this yet that I've seen, what if they give it to Jamie Hayter? And then you have Britt having one belt, and Jamie Hayter having another one. Like, there are things that they could do that could make this great, and they now have the demand of a women's division that is well-rounded enough to sustain a second belt. For those reasons, I'm optimistic. Is their track record good? No! It's really bad. But it's been better of recent, and the talent pool for the women is just deeper. I love that it's a TBS title. I think that's so great to have a TNT title and a TBS title. Mike Peterson saying, I still want that. I still low-key want that Cartoon Network title. I loved that in the promo tonight. I want a CNN title with a guest referee, Wolf Blitzerberg says. I'm in on those. Give me all of the television brand titles. No. I am cautiously optimistic. It's with extreme caution, though. Like, they still have to earn this. Because even Britt's reign only got good in the past couple of months, really. Like, the stuff with Nyla was not good. So, hopefully they book it well, because now they have the woman power to fuel the division. So, fingers crossed.
So, Shlong, I want to pitch this to you because you are obviously our Dark expert. I think we all watch Dark, but you really watch Dark. The thought here, too, is some people are saying that with a second belt, you have the opportunity to have more women on television. Again, this is something I'm not super optimistic about because they're already getting two matches on their shows, right? They've had opportunities to, and I say two matches, like one on Dynamite, one on Rampage. I'm talking television. They have a lot more on the Darks. But we've always talked about, like, you could have cut this here on Dynamite and added a second women's match. You could have done this and given more time to the women. I'm personally not really optimistic that that's going to change with this title. I think it's actually going to maybe give more weight to watching the Darks, because I think that's where it has potential to show up more. Again, I think they will have the opportunity to have it defended on television with one of the matches they have on either show at this point. But do you think that this is going to, like, are you hopeful that this is going to, I guess, one, have potential to push more people to the Darks to get eyes on Dark because this belt can show up there, and or give more time to women on the television shows?
So first we need to establish, so if anyone's curious, I'm Wile E. Coyote. I constantly just run over the cliff over and over and over again. So if anyone's wondering where my I'm Wile E. Coyote in terms of optimism, I will always be optimistic. I have to. It's just how I enjoy things. I don't know if so they have the talent right now to make a very good division. I mean, they have a good division, but I'm saying like bring them up. Like you have Kate named two. You have Diamante. You have Sky Blue. You have Kira Hogan. There's been a couple others. Even though Kate doesn't like her as much, I actually kind of really liked her match this week, which is Maddie Rankowski. You have Kylan King, who you I haven't seen in forever. But you have these wrestlers you could bring back, sign full time, and you have then a full roster of women that you have like a legitimate division. I could see them doing like Diamante's basically been doing every feud on Dark, and it's been great. They're usually 1 week feuds, except for Swole. I forgot about Big Swole. I mean, she's kind of been forgotten, but when she's good, she's good. But Diamante's kind of been doing all these feuds on Dark, and they've been great. So I could see them doing feuds there. The belt has to be on TV. I mean, it's going to have to be on Dynamite because it's the TBS title. So they're going to have, which is good. I mean, I hate to say that's a positive. You're not going to name the belt after a station and then not show it on that station. Yes, there's no reason right now they couldn't have six women's feuds going on with three women's matches a week. Like they should. I'm not going to argue that. They should. The only thing another belt does is you have Britt as your champ, and you're like, oh, well, Thunder Rosa, we're not ready for Thunder Rosa to face Britt. Well, then what do you do with Thunder Rosa? Now, yes, she should be in a bunch of other feuds, but it doesn't hurt that if you put her in the TBS title feud and have her win that, because she's just as protected then. And then you can have, if Ruby doesn't, you know, beat Britt, maybe she has to have a couple matches in her next bout, not her next one, but after she wins her matches again, she goes and does Thunder Rosa. So long as you keep it like it's not a consolation prize, which is actually one of the issues I had with Britt's promo, is she kind of downplayed it too much and I didn't like that. Like I want this to be pumped up as like the TNT title is. Like, this is huge. If you have this, you are. I think the title will help they're so top heavy, and I don't think they know what to do with all their top women. I think two titles helps that, because now you can give the two women, have them go to two different directions, and each give them a different feud. My hope, and again, I'm Wile E. Coyote, I will run off this cliff every time of optimism, is that now they're like, all right, we have two belts. We're going to have to build other feuds to get to those belts. I don't care where – I mean, I want it on TV. If you at least want to start on Elevation to be like, listen, we need to build this division up a little – fine, but you got to start putting the time and effort into it now, because one thing they have shown is that if somebody gets over on Elevation or things get over on Elevation, they make it to TV. So if you start putting these feuds on Elevation and you give me another Diamante Swole feud and they're like, well, this was huge, they're gonna put that on TV next time because it was so popular. So they need to start doing it now. I'm optimistic that they recognize the division did need something. That's why you brought in another belt. I also like that it shows that the division isn't, I mean, they don't have tag belts yet, but at least they're close to on par with the men. They each have two belts. You know, they have a champ. I have hope. I think the goal would be three matches a week, or at least two matches and a huge segment, like a real segment, not just an interview.
Sure.
I'm optimistic they're trying to get there. They have talent now. Like Kate said, they're starting to become loaded with it. They were top heavy for a while, and I think they're kind of still top heavy, but they're filling out. And if they can just pull the trigger on some of these people and say, like, you know what? We're going to start doing with you. Like, we've talked about it. And Kylan King, watch her in that NWA tournament tag team with Red Velvet. Like, she has it. Pull the goddamn Velvet. Trigger on her. Let her, yeah. Velvet. Red Velvet would be a great TBS champ at some point. Big Swole again, great TBS champ at some point. I mean, they would be great champs, but you can do both. Like you don't need. I don't know. I have hope. I have a lot of hope because I want this to work. I guess that's what it comes down to. I want it to be successful.
My other thing too is like I think some of these, like we've talked about Kylan King before, but I don't think Kylan King is signed up with them full time. Like I don't think she's even. She might have like an appearance contract, but she's definitely not signed with them in any fashion. They've never mentioned that Kylan King has been signed.
I think she's not. I think she's injured right now. I'm not positive, so don't quote me on that.
But she was per appearance beforehand. She was on one of those tiered deals. But that's kind of what I mean by pull the trigger. Say, like, we have these women. Now, Diamante, I think, is full-on signed because she appears in their games and all. So it's weird the way they use her, but I think she is signed.
Basically, if you get the graphic, you are signed an exclusive. If you just get you're all elite but don't get the graphic, you're not exclusive to the company and you're on a tiered deal. So just for anybody has any confusion around that.
I think Fuego wasn't able to be in the mobile game because he wasn't signed until he was signed. So like someone like Diamante, she's in that mobile game. So she has to be at least a tier above him. She never got the graphic, but she's been there since like day one. So who she could have beaten that graphic. I'm saying they need to give the graphic to some of these people. Sky Blue should eventually get the graphic. Kylan King should get the graphic. They got to say, like, we have a robust women's division. Look at all the names. And then use them.
Well, either way, it is a big announcement. And like I said, I think there were some people out there thinking that it was going to be another big signing or something else. But the rumors were out there that this was going to be coming. So it makes sense. They're trying to build interest to their jump to TBS in January. So this is the time to do it. We're a couple months away from the new year, so we got to start building that now. We also get a Jim Ross interview with Darby Allin in a sit-down, and Allin talks about why he paints his face. He basically connects it to the death of his uncle and his chest tattoo, and says that MJF isn't going to win the war because he's seen men like him 1,000 times. And that's pretty much it. I don't know if you guys want to dig in about Darby. We'll see Darby again late. Well, we go actually go into Darby Allin's match. My apologies. Against Nick Comoroto. Cutting to the finish here, Darby Allin wins by pinfall with the coffin drop. One of the craziest openers I think I've ever seen, where he does basically a front flip over the turnbuckle to take out Comoroto and Aaron Solo. But I should also mention that post-match, QT Marshall hits the diamond cutter on Sting, who no-sells and pops right up, and then kicks QT in the crotch before hitting the Scorpion death drop. So a nice little match and segment by Darby and Sting and Nick Comoroto, who I believe this was his hometown show. He's from Philadelphia. Kate, any thoughts on this match?
Just the promo going into this match. And Darby Allin, kind of a maniac, I'm starting to think, guys. That opening to the match, I'm starting to think it's almost like he has no regard for his well-being. I loved the opening of this match. Not a ton to talk about here. Good to see him get a win. He's eaten a couple losses because he doesn't need a bunch of wins, but it's good to see he's a top talent in the company. He should go out there and get a win on occasion. Like, good stuff to see. And then this sets up something later in the night that we can talk about then. But this was a good match to build to something that is going in a different direction. So this was fine.
Shlong, anything you want to add about the Darby stuff?
I agree with Kate on all her points, and it was nice to give Nikram Murado his home, you know, hometown match. Didn't get the win like most of the time in AEW, so a little upset about that. He is a big boy. He is a strong boy. I've seen some of his bench pressing clips online. Jesus Christ. So it was fun. It was a good match. There's nothing more to it. This was just to get Darby on TV and give him a win on TV, which, like Kate said, he did need a win on TV. Something to show him in the eyes like he is awesome.
He is not mid.
No, not in the least. So after all the Darby match and the post-match, we have the Dark Order backstage, and they agree to settle their differences from here on out with voting on the suggestion of John Silver. His first order of business is to vote that Alan Angels put his mask back on because he looks too much like him and Stu Grayson. They bicker back and forth, and then Anna Jay settles things down, and it appears that the Dark Order is back together. So, Ryan, you don't have to cry anymore because it looks like the Dark Order are back together and on the same page.
Thank fucking God. I was getting really sad. My heart was breaking week after week. It's tough. You know, you have Peter Avalon and Leva Bates' third heartbreaking love story, and then you have the Dark Order's heartbreaking story, and it was just too much. We said it last week. I was hoping that was the end of their breakup story, which was all they needed was Negative One and Amanda Huber. I love that that's what they did. I love Uno's tweets afterwards when he sent a promo, which is like he knew he wasn't good enough to fill those shoes. He couldn't. I think there was a nice emotional thing to it. I also think it was kind of their way of putting everything to bed of like, stop trying to give us a fucking leader. Like, it doesn't exist. So this was perfect. And they were saying that Alan needed to put his mask back on because he's too ugly.
Well, yes, but then they also did, my apologies, you're right, but they did then call out that he looks just like John Silver, and then Silver basically said, you look just like Stu more than anybody.
I loved that because he was like, no, he's bald and has beard. It was so good. You know, I think a lot of people, I know Matt had said he thought Anna Jay was going to be the thing to get them back together. Everyone assumed Hangman Adam Page. Having it be Amanda Huber and Negative One is about as touching of a move as they could have made. I love that they did that. I'm glad that they're back on the same page. Sure seemed like a little bit of foreshadowing of what was to come later in that ladder match. Which
back on the same page?
Back on the same page. Nailed it. Oh, Ant is just surrounded by pun people right now.
It's just, I feel like I have like a hot feeling on the back of my head. I don't know.
Oh God, it's Arn anyway. Anderson! Duck!
Oh God. He has a can of hairspray and Bic lighter. He's lighting me up from behind.
Oh no. As long as it's not cold spray.
No, I could use some cold spray though. And a Vicks sniffer. So after this, we have Tony Schiavone interviewing Dante Martin in the middle of the ring, which was surprising. And Dante Martin actually talks. He says he's been proving that he's a problem to everybody in the locker room, and he's held his own against the likes of Kenny Omega, and he's here to fight anyone they bring him. And guys, the lights go out, and we all know what that means. That when
the
they come
Undertaker.
Back up, well, come on. You know
it's
what? For the Undertaker. The Undertaker, the lights just dim, and then he brings them back up slowly. Well, he cues the lighting guy to gently raise the lights.
What? How dare you?
Actually, in fairness, the Undertaker, the lights turn off, and a half an hour later, he's in the ring, and then they finally come back on.
That's right. They finally get him out of the little scooter and are able to get him in the ring. But anyway, Malakai Black is in the ring. Black Mist in the face lays out Dante Martin with the black mask. Lights go back out. Dante's now gone on the outside. And Malakai says the House of Black accepts. And Martin is just basically laying there on the outside of the ring suffering. And then we go to break. So, guys, a couple things here. Dante Martin can actually talk. And by he can actually talk, I mean that he's actually pretty good on the mic. And I think I said in the Discord, I hope his brother is able to come back and keep up. Because I've said it before, man, Dante Martin is a star, and while he's really great in the tag team with his brother, we've been able to see how he can shine on his own, and to me, he's also got single star written all over him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but Kate, is this an interesting twist for you, Malakai Black and Dante Martin? Like, I'm interested in seeing the match, but I would have never like put that as the guy who's going to challenge.
So, I'm interested in seeing a sunset flip into a black mass and just an absolute assault happen. I think Darius Martin is close to coming back. He's been a lot more active on Twitter. So, I'm wondering if this angle is being set up for Darius to come back and save his brother, because that's such an immediate way to put him like back over. I think everybody understands how much Dante has grown in the time that Darius has been out. But a while ago, Darius kind of looked like he was the star and a little bit better than Dante. So I'm hopeful that if he's coming back and can be even just where he was, that they'll still be able to hang. They offer such a specific type of flavor to the tag team division. I think they're going to just go back to being tag stars for a while, especially, you know, the Lucha Brothers versus Top Flight. Like, come on. That's like not, I don't know if you can call it a dream match because Top Flight is so young, but it's not one. I'm not mad at that at all. So I'm thinking that this might be set up to bring Darius back because it is a very interesting choice. But man, to me, this not only is really cool, the pop that Malakai gets is just wild. I referenced it earlier, but this was the moment that I was like, okay, part of why Cody is getting booed is because Malakai is just so damn over. So yeah. I'm very excited about it. And just the way we talked about it with Punk, Daniel Bryan's going to head in this direction. I'm sorry, Bryan Danielson, American Dragon Nielsen, is going to head in this direction too, I think. Malakai Black doesn't need to be near a title. He's so cool. He does not need a belt to go put over Dante Martin and make stars out of these young guys. Like, it's just what wrestling is designed to do. And everybody there seems so passionate about it as veterans, as a part of wanting to make that part of their legacy. I just love seeing that. And this is a great example.
Shlong, you've seen a lot of Dante Martin on the Darks. We've seen him on TV. What does the Malakai Black and Dante Martin match do for you?
All right, before we get to that, I have to at least acknowledge an Asian Joe comment, which says, Ryan is a boy who's just looking for someone to watch Notting Hill with to get out all his emotions. You know what, Joe? You're right. I think I appreciate that. I don't know if Notting Hill is necessarily the movie, but a rom-com? Sure.
Or I would like to also acknowledge Mike Peterson's Dante deserves a push. Just unfortunately, he's going to die next week. such a great comment, but go ahead, Ryan.
It's a great, I mean, I'm with Kate, and actually where I was thinking the same thing, where this is going, this is how they introduce his brother to save him. Dante Martin clearly is just amazing. Can do whatever he wants in that ring. I don't see a spot for him right now as a singles guy in the terms of like beyond just a couple cool matches here or there. I see a big spot for Top Flight. I don't think there's many teams who can do what they can do. So that'd be huge. I will also bring up something that comes a little later, but it has to tie into the segment, which is Leo Rush immediately coming out and talking about Dante. And it's like, are we talking the three of them? Because as no matter how you feel about Leo Rush, that is an insane mix of styles.
Yes, that is.
They've recognized that Dante is extremely over. He's got his own shirt now. Kate's not a big fan of it. He's getting to talk on the mic. They've realized that people have watched him week after week and been like, holy shit, look what this kid can do. In any other company, I'd say, oh, putting him back in a tag team is a punishment. For them, I don't think it is. For them, I think it's just as big of a deal. And I think he has a lot more chance of success in the tag division than he does in the singles right now. In the future, I could see him being a huge single star. But right now, I think he has a lot more success in the tag division, because I don't think, besides the Lucha Brothers, there's not a team that and I guess the Seidels when they're healthy, but no one flies like Top Flight does. So just some of the stuff they could pull out.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, Top Flight is certainly a team who is one of maybe three I could think of in AEW who can kind of do what they do really well. And yeah, I mean, I bring up the single stuff. I don't think that the right thing to do is to push him in a singles run right now. He's what, 20? 21? No, he's like 20. That he's got a lot of time left that he can have a singles run at some other time. I do definitely want to see Top Flight back together against the Lucha Brothers. I'll even take the Seidels. I'll see him again against the Bucks. That was a great match that they had early on and during the pandemic. So to see that in front of a crowd would be awesome. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But yes, I'm in on Malachi Black versus Dante Martin. Hopefully somebody doesn't die. Coming back from the break, Ricky Starks is in the ring. He raises up that FTW championship and says that's the same title that was born in South Philadelphia and held by Taz in the name of the FTW mindset. He has the same mindset as Taz did. But he can't say the same for Brian Cage. That's why he came out there. He wanted to make history and do good by the people. But in typical Brian Cage fashion, he did not show up to work tonight. He wanted to wrestle, and he was even going to take it a step further and challenge him to a Philly street fight. But that's when Brian Cage comes in. And Cage is able to get some corner lariats in on Starks until Hook and Hobbs pull Starks out of the ring. And then they kind of scamper off. So, guys, I think it was like last week or the week before there were some reports that Brian Cage had been off TV because he had some sort of knee problem or a procedure done that kind of caused him an issue. But it looks like he's back and we'll maybe now get the kind of conclusion of this story. And then Ricky Starks can kind of move on to some other stuff. But, Starks Cage, does this excite anybody? I don't, you know, whoever wants to kind of jump in here. I think I'm just kind of happy to see this end and then them go their separate ways. But tell me what you think, whoever wants to jump in.
This was kind of, to me, the beauty of them setting up something with Punk, because Punk can just come back later. it doesn't derail anything. He's like, all right, I guess I'll go fight Daniel Garcia next. I'm curious to see if they give Cage the FTW belt, because he feels more like the FTW guy. I'm not super in on Cage, but I'm glad that he's healthy and back, and that we're going to get a resolution to the story, like you said. I love Ricky Starks. Punk and Ricky Starks is a dream match to me, so I can't wait for that, but it was smart of them to put Punk in that picture if they knew Cage was going to come back soon, because it's there's not like a ton of investment there. Like, that's fine. You can just have Punk come back when he's ready. So, well structured. It's not the most exciting thing in the world to me, but there's definitely worse stuff, and I like it when stories get loose ends tied up, so I'm excited for that too. I'm just curious to see where the FTW belt actually ends up.
Slung has an opinion on this. Not really, though.
Long away.
I think Starks really hurt himself with the promo. Not long term, but tonight hurt himself with the promo, because he was kind of giving a face promo. This belt's from here. This belt was built here. But he's supposed to be the heel, and I don't think people knew what to do. It's like, we're supposed to boo you, but you're saying things I want to cheer. Starks is awesome. I want him out of this feud, and it's not even an insult to the guys in it. It's just a feud I don't care about because it's been going on too long. Wherever he goes next is going to be amazing, because he's got so much charisma, so much skill that I'm just, if it's Punk, if he feuds with Punk, it needs to be a multi-week feud. His feud needs to go long-term because he's at that level. I don't know what you do with Cage. He just seems to not have clicked. I don't know why. I don't know what it's missing with the fans and people and storylines. I really don't know where you go next with him. And that's going to be interesting to see what they try to do. I could see like a him versus Miro feud, but he'd lose the feud. And I don't know, like, does that help him then to have another lost feud?
I think part of the reason we don't know what's going on with Cage is he hasn't done much else than this. Like, he just hasn't had that many other stories. So like, if this one story isn't working and it's been 70% of his career, because like his match against Hangman was actually pretty good. Some of his matches against Starks were all right. This hasn't been the best showcase of what he can do, but like, I feel like he's been very constricted because this has just been going on for so long. Now that we're talking about, actually, and Mike Peterson just said it in the chat, I think Dan Lambert and him would have been a good call. That might have made more sense. Cage needs a mouthpiece and they need to find someone for him. literally you typed that as I was thinking this. Like, Lambert could have been a good match for him there. He has an incredible ability to be a body guy who can move kind of like Hammerstone's this way, where you're like, how are you that big? But like, you can just do a missile drop kick out of nowhere. Like, he has that ability. It just has not been harnessed properly. So, but to your point, Ryan, like, hasn't clicked with the fans. It's like, well, give him, where does he go next? Just anywhere else, I think, will be nice. Like, just go onto something else from here. Like, put him, have him face Darby Allin or something. You know what I mean? Like, go somewhere completely different than you have been for the past, like, 6 months of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's it will certainly be interesting to see where Cage goes. I think I'm in agreement with you guys, like, on Starks. Like, yes, CM Punk can come around for Starks. That would be great. There are plenty of places for Starks to go. I think Cage is almost the odd man out. It's like, where does he go from here? I mean, could he potentially do something with another Hoss? You know, could he do something with Wardlow? Could he do something with Hager? Like, sure, but I don't know what that does for anybody. You know, so it's just kind of, he's in an odd position. So we'll see where this goes. Hopefully it's concluding. But we also get a hype reel after this about the TBS Championship and some of the tournament entrants already. The video featured Thunder Rosa, Sky Blue, Ruby Soho, Aiden, and Jade Cargill, all kind of saying that they are part of this tournament. So it looks like those are our first four. I don't know how many more they're going to throw into this tournament. Hopefully it's longer than four people, but we'll see what happens. Right now, those seem to be our first four, and there's some pretty good choices. I mean, do you guys have anything else you want to add? I think those are a good four to have in right now. There's, you know, who else would you add? You know, would you take somebody out of this? What do you think?
I'm Stat for sure. Kira Hogan for sure. Diamante for sure. I would probably say Swole, if she's healthy, they'll probably do Nyla or Tay. Obviously they've got a real division here. Those are some good names to really have in there.
Do we know how many women they're putting in it?
No, not yet.
So that really depends on who I'd say, because I would try to get as much of your roster in this tournament as you could.
Yeah.
I think they have the time showcase for
it. If this is going to full gear, like, they have the time to do it properly. So hopefully they
will be okay. If you're having two lower level members of your roster, like if you were having a Diamante versus Sky Blue, just because it's okay if that's on elevation, but if you're having a Stat versus someone, that needs to be on one of your TV shows.
Correct.
You can do the two, but the lower ones have to they're okay, but the big ones have to be on TV.
I didn't even mention Serena Deeb.
Well, we will be.
We will be.
That's right. Right now, in fact, because that's when we get the match. Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb. Apparently, the Shida lady's going for her 50th win in AEW. They have a trophy there for her, but she's got to get through Deeb to get there. And as we get to the end of this match, guys, I'm a little surprised. Serena Deeb wins by submission with the Serenity Lock, makes Shida tap out, and then post-match, Deeb gets the trophy, cracks Shida over the head with it, and then slams it down, breaking that beautiful crystal trophy. The first thing I want to say is, did the outcome actually surprise you guys? Because I was a little surprised. I was like, they're definitely going to let Shida get this win and just get her 50 wins. Like, I had no idea that they would do this with Deeb. I mean, I'm not mad at it. I like it, because I think Deeb is better than just rolling over for Shida. But I don't know. Did you guys see it going this way?
I actually did think it was going to go this way, because I think they know what they have in Deeb. And I think you get one shot at an injury return, and there could actually be a cool story, especially with a tournament around the corner, of Shida just not being able to get this damn 50th win. Like, that could be a really, really good babyface story for Shida, whose strongest suit isn't English, and to let play out. Like that's great. I didn't think they were going to do it, but I was hoping they would with Serena, and for her to break the trophy is such a fantastic heel move. I just love Serena Deeb. I thought the match was really great. It's upsetting that it went to full. I wish this had started the show, especially because the opener wasn't great. This was a match that, and I know, like, I think we're all basically on the same page that the character of Sheeta was not great during the championship run, but she can go in the ring, and Serena's one of the best, if not the best, to do it. This should have been highlighted because this was positioned as a clinic. People were excited about it on social media. I do like the booking here quite a bit. I'm very glad that they took advantage of the fact that you have a heel Serena Deeb, and you get kind of one shot at that comeback from an injury return. Edge was the best at it. Edge's whole career was built off the fact that he was always injured, and he's great, but he was constantly coming back from injury, and so everybody was always very excited to see him. This is you get one of those. So I thought the match was great. I liked the booking here. I think it could be a great story with Sheeta if she just can't get this damn win. I think that would be really fun.
I really liked this match. I did not think this would be the ending. I just thought it was a foregone conclusion. She is going to get it. They've kind of always done that with Sheeta, to be like, let's just keep propping her up. And it's not that I don't like Sheeta. Like Kate said, she's really good in the ring. She just hasn't had a character. There looks like they're giving her a character. I think Kate might be right on where they're going with that, which is she's at 49 and she can't get 50 and it starts to crush her in some way. That would be awesome. It would be a character for someone who can wrestle and we care about her for some reason. Deeb is amazing. I mean, Deeb has character. She's great in the ring. She could be one of your faces of this division without question. The heel persona's really worked out well for her, way better than the face they were trying to make her. I think she's so good at it in the ring that she kind of almost comes off heelish because she can do everything. And a lot of the people that do that are heels. I'm excited to see you now have characters developing from a lot of your women's roster. So with the new belt, now more and more characters coming about. This is the kind of stuff that makes me excited. I don't know where Serena Deeb goes next, but I don't say that negatively. I say that positively. I don't think she's going into a title feud right away, but she might go against Ruby Soho. She could go get Statlander. She could start lower down and start with Anna Jay or Tay Conti, and that'd be fine too. Everything's open to her, and I believe that they are willing to do something with her now. Like, they're willing to use her to the full extent. I think she'd obviously be dealing with injuries, like Kate said, so that slowed things down, but I'm just very excited. I think this match was more than I hoped for in terms of the ending, and I'm very excited to see where they go with it.
Well, the story has to play out because it looks like Deeb is full-blown heel now, and she is still trying to get to that 50. So who knows where we're headed to next. But after this, we go to Darby Allin getting interviewed, leaving the arena. And Marvez says that there is a match that was challenged for next week, MJF versus Darby Allin. Darby Allin is asked if he'll accept and says, of course. And then all of a sudden, a limo pulls up, so Darby gets ready to fight, and then a masked man comes to get him from behind with a chair, and then a couple masked guys get out of the car and start to lay him out. They throw him face first to lawn dart him into a stop sign on a barricade. They then lay the barricades down, and this large masked man gets him up and F5s him onto the barricade. MJF, I don't know if it's MJF, but somebody else gets out of the limo in a mask, takes Darby's skateboard that he had, and then starts to choke out Darby with it, and the team leaves. I don't know about you guys, commentary thought it, I thought it too, I thought it could be the pinnacle, so I don't know, it seemed like it could be. And then we do find out later on. I don't remember exactly where, but with that after this attack, Darby Allin is not cleared for the match next week, so it will not be taking place on Dynamite as we thought it would Saturday night. At least now, that's what they're saying. Shlong, did you like this?
I did. I liked, again, I made the banner, so I'm going to point it out because I think it's something you and Kate have pointed out many, 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 many times. Avoid the AEW parking lot. Bad things happen there. Apparently not just in Jacksonville. In Philly and wherever they go, they just get hurt. I actually love that the commentary did not try to pretend like, who are these guys? Like, they were all in, like, we know who it is. This is obvious. Because I hate that. Like, it always annoyed me because it's like, you're treating me stupid then. Don't treat me stupid. Like, yes, they're wearing masks. I get why they're wearing masks. Like, it fits what they're doing. But also at the same point, we all know who it was. It was great. I think this is how you stretch out a feud but keep it hot. You have them get jumped. They don't have the match that they're supposed to have. If they can stretch this out to November 13th, that will be amazing because that's a match that would really do well on that card.
Yeah, I think it was pretty obvious that this was the wingmen. It's very clear. Just kidding. They would have had way more fashionable masks than that.
Yeah, come on. They plain black. Come on.
Yeah,
come
no, on. They would have been bedazzled. And I would have swooned. No, I congratulations to Retribution on being all elite. a lot of that going around Twitter. One thing that you guys didn't mention that I really like, just to add, was I love Darby Allin saying, yeah, I was waiting for him. I was waiting for MJF to challenge me to this fight. For a guy who's so constantly fighting from underneath, I love the confidence of Darby Allin as a babyface being like, I was waiting for you to invite me to a match, buddy. Like, I was waiting for this challenge. Loved the confidence in that. It feels very Darby-ish, but I agree with everything else that you guys said. They really, really got to get some security in AEW parking lot and NXT for that matter. I don't know if 2.0 parking is quite as detrimental, but
it's brighter there. So like they see more going on.
Right. Yeah. It's all rainbow colored lights. And that makes sense. The LEDs are, you can change the colors that works. But yeah, this is great. This is classic heels, stable stuff. Fantastic.
Hey, sidebar, Kate, cause I know you're a baseball fan too. The Dodgers just walked it off with two outs in the ninth.
Wow. I saw that it was tied going into the bottom of the ninth. Who walked it off?
I missed who it was. They ripped his jersey off and I just don't know the face.
Okay.
But it was a two-run home run. Crazy. Anyway, back to what's really important, wrestling and real sports. this is where Ryan was talking about before. Leo Rush gets a little promo where he calls Dante Martin out and says that he's a huge fan. He sees an undervalued commodity, a sleeping giant, and here's the proposal. If Dante accepts Malakai Black's challenge, maybe he's going to need some help. So he's going to have his people call Dante's people, and they'll talk soon. And we go to a break. So again, I don't know if we want to dig into anything here, but it looks like maybe we'll get Leo Rush kind of hanging out with Dante Martin a little bit. Maybe Darius comes back and we kind of have these three guys as a little group who can go out there and take care of some business. So I don't know, Shlong, if you have anything else you want to add or if Kate, you do, but I thought it was actually pretty decent promo.
No, I know people are whatever with Leo Rush because of his retiring and unretiring. He's great in the ring and a really good promo, and I'm excited to see what he does in AEW. So onward and upward. I like it.
Let's just hope that he can get to the end of the year without retiring again, because he does have some really good talent. We get an interview with Britt Baker backstage with Tony Schiavone. She says the TBS championship is fantastic because now all those jealous bitches in the back can fight amongst themselves instead of obsessing over her title. And she'll be watching the whole tournament from the top. I think to Ryan's point before with this promo, you know, it seemed like she almost put this down, but I think this is exactly what Britt Baker needs to say, right? She's a champ. She's better than this. And she doesn't care what all these other bitches are going to fight about as long as it's not her belt. So I actually didn't mind this promo, or I didn't really think she was kind of putting it down too hard. I think this is exactly what a champion would do. Find the good part in this is the fact that there's another belt for people to fight over instead of mine. Kate, anything you want to add here?
I think it's good from Britt because I think it's also her way of saying I have the only belt that matters. I have the superior belt. It's because of me that it matters. That's how I took that, was more of a like, I'm the champion. So call it the Cartoon Network belt, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter because I'm the champ and that's what matters. I just took it as a, an arrogant move from a heel champion.
Absolutely. Shlong, anything else you want to add here before we get to the main event?
No, I mean, I said earlier, wasn't thrilled with the promo, only because the belt was just getting introduced. Now, had she said any belt I hold is the most important belt, would have been fine with whatever else she said. I'm probably taking it wrong. I'm just worried. Don't make this an obvious mid-card belt when you haven't done that with the TNT title, because that's what makes the TNT title awesome.
Yeah, and the women's division has been so vulnerable. That's a very, very fair criticism. Like, hey, don't kick them when they've been down, and they've been down for the majority of the past 2 years. That's completely fair.
Kate, Peterson says Chris Taylor hit that game-winning home run, and it was definitely a bomb.
I just saw it. That was what we call a no-doubter in the biz.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I could have heard it because it looked like a home run.
I'm surprised we couldn't hear it.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. All right, guys, we're into the main event, which was our casino ladder match for the AEW World Championship number one, contender. So the winner of this would get a title shot. It should be mentioned that the match started with two people in the ring, and then a new entrant came in every 2 minutes. This match was Andrade versus Moxley versus Lance Archer versus Big Money Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy versus Pac versus the Joker, mystery entrant. And guys, we're going to cut to the finish so we can talk about the match. The mystery entrant was Hangman Adam Page. And my goodness, the pop he received when he came back was amazing. And I don't know about anybody else, but obviously as soon as Hangman showed up, I kind of thought which way this was going, and it went the way we thought it would. Hangman Adam Page wins, getting that giant poker chip off that hook to become the number one contender to the AEW World Championship. Page is cracking a beer on top of that ladder, celebrating, and that's the end of the show. So Hangman is back. He's got a clear shot at Kenny Omega at some point, if Kenny Omega holds the belt long enough. And we're off to the races. So, Kate, I want to throw this to you first. Because off to the race? We had...
Like horses?
That wasn't even... Yeah, I mean, that wasn't even
really... We've corrupted him so much, he's doing puns, and he doesn't even know
it. No.
Accomplished.
Listen, cowboys aren't horse racers. If he was a jockey gimmick, then I'd give it to you. But, you know,
you don't think cowboys race horses? You don't think cowboys race horses?
Not like
I played Red Dead Redemption. I played Red Dead Redemption. They've raced horses in that game.
It's close enough. Stop trying to stretch
it.
Stop trying to stretch it.
Mike Peterson says he's going to hang around for the main event. And sir, I will just counter and tell you that Hangman Adam Page now has a chip on his shoulder against Kenny Omega. I'm here all night, guys. this was an extremely well-booked ladder match from front to back. I really liked the match as well as the outcome. You're right. It's predictable. Whenever I do shows with Sean, he always says, predictable is okay if it's good. Like, be good. This was a case of this being predictable and good. Great ladder match. Loved Archer getting to shine in this. Finally, some light being shined on my boy. I really like Lance Archer. And it just goes to show you, like, that pop that Hangman received is such a great example of, like, if you build a story that fans are invested in, it doesn't matter if CM Punk debuted, it doesn't matter if Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole debuted, Bryan Danielson debuted, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You come in, you put just the slightest bit of gas behind Hangman, and nobody cares. They just want to see Hangman beat Kenny Omega. And the fact that they had to sidestep it for 8 weeks and everybody still gives this much of a shit is the best thing about professional wrestling ever. It's so awesome. I love it. So I thought this was a great way to close out the show. They've been very good at not overcomplicating stuff aside from when they've had to because of real life events. Such a clean story. Such an easy, logical way for Hangman to re-enter the picture. I really, really, really so appreciate what they've done with this storyline and how this match was booked. Extremely well done.
Shlong, what did you think about the main event? Any problem with Hangman? And it should also be mentioned too, by the way, I'm sorry, Shlong. Kate had mentioned she loved the way this was booked. I also love the way it was booked because every single person had an issue with another person in this match. So it was clear that they were going to want to get retribution before we get to the Joker. Like, clearly nobody was going to climb the ladder and win this match ahead of time. So we knew we were going to get that Joker because they were saying this match could end at any time. So it was really well kind of planned out that way. And even Hangman Adam Page had an issue with a few people who were involved in that ladder match at one point. So Shlong, what'd you think about this main event?
I loved it. I actually liked this match style. Kind of like a Royal Rumble, but in a ladder match form. I really like that. They try to get creative and not, it doesn't always work. You know, their casino battle royals can get a little ugly. This worked really well. It's unique. I was going to say what you said. I liked that anytime two guys were in the ring together that had had a previous issue, they mentioned it. Oh, Pac and Orange. Oh, they had an issue. Pac and Hangman. They had an issue. Like, address that these people have had problems. Why is Moxley so angry to get his title back? He was screwed by Kenny Omega. Like, it gives, like, you don't forget these past stories. They still exist. It keeps continuity. I had been hoping all day it was Hangman. It was more than anything what I wanted. If it wasn't, I don't know who it would have been. Kate made a point of saying, you know, just because once he was out, it was predictable he'd win. Or he was kind of predictable he'd be the Joker too. And she said, predictable isn't bad. I would argue in books, television, movies, and professional wrestling, anything where you write the story, your ending should be mostly predictable 95% of the time. Because in order for it to not be predictable the rest of the way, you have written a shit story where there's no logic. 5% of the time, and those 5% that are twists, you can then trace back how that twist made sense through the story now that you know the ending of it. That's why movies that have great twists are always like hugely over, because it's just not possible to do and still write a good movie. Because I don't want to go too in-depth to this, but just to me, like, predictable is fine if you did it. It's predictable because you wrote such an awesome story. It needs a good conclusion. Hangman is so over still. It's amazing. I know some people, and they weren't saying it negatively. They weren't shitting on AEW, but they were just kind of saying, like, hey, I wonder if, now with Bryan Danielson, with CM Punk, with these new Adam Cole, is Hangman now forgotten, you know, because he's been away and he was withdrawing all those debuts. And I get the fear because it has happened to other guys. But I think that forgot just how much people were cheering for Hangman. And that Hangman didn't lose his own match. He lost in the elimination match. So, like, people were dying for it. And they kind of kept it alive by keeping the Dark Order breaking up, because you kept seeing the ramifications of him not being around. Did you watch his interview during the first break of Road to the Top?
I'm here on the air with you, so no.
Well, it was before we went on.
No.
That's how I caught it.
I was getting ready. Nope.
Okay. Well, my TV's reacting to me. He was drinking in his by himself, like celebratory, but drinking by himself in his dressing room. Shivani came in. Shivani tried to like say, "What are you going to do to face Kenny?" And Hangman showed him a picture of his kid, all because he admitted he had a kid. Like, he told him why he went away, which was really nice. He showed him a picture of the kid. But he's like, you know, they kind of hinted at the Dark Order. Like, Shivani's like, you know, Kenny's got the Elite with him and his friends, a lot of friends. And Hangman's like, I know I have to go make right with some of my friends, and I have to think of the right things to say. And he's like, maybe I should get to that. And he kind of just walked out. It was really nice. Like, obviously, they're going to bring him back with the Dark Order. I hope, because you don't want to waste that nice leather jacket he had. I mean, you got to use that more than once. So this was perfect. This was everything I could have wanted it to be. The response was what was needed. It gets around that loophole that Kenny had kind of instilled with saying you lost your number one contender match, because he had to regain it. It was nice. I just, beyond that, this was perfect. And I'm so excited. They stretch this out to Full Gear, let Hangman, because it's a pay-per-view about him. Let him get the belt and just let that story be what it needs to be.
Well, I'm a little upset Kate's not here, but I don't want to waste this. Asian Joe, I'm going to have to say it, Ryan, the king of puns. You guys both lose to Asian Joe. His quote is, Hangman has the chip on his shoulder and now has a target on the center of Omega. So shove that in your pun hole.
I'm applauding it. That was well done. I can't be mad. Joe, you know, actually, no, I have a question for Joe. Joe Evans is his name. Joe, do you call yourself Asian Joe so that when you have three white people sitting on a podcast, they sound really like offensive by saying Asian Joe said this? I just want to know, because it just every now and again, I'm like, if you're not watching that's what he calls himself, we sound really bad.
Well, listen, I'm just calling whatever comes up on the as the name that you go by on YouTube or Facebook or whatever. So no,
I know, I'm just saying.
No, he wants to know if it's a rib, and I would also like to know that. Asian Joe. It's kind of like Fat Amy in Pitch Perfect.
I've never seen it and I can't comment. I don't know.
It's actually pretty good, surprisingly.
Pretty good movie. Listen, if it's on HBO and I catch it at the right time, I'll sit and watch it. Definitely. All right, guys, that's the end of Dynamite. I thought it was a pretty fun episode for the 2-year anniversary. We'll see where we go next week now that Hangman is back. Asian Joe also says it's whatever you want it to be. So he's still living in anonymity, letting you kind of make the decision you'd like. So, guys, not too many news or notes this week. It's been quite a quiet week behind the scenes, but as Kate did mention, Bobby Fish is now official with the graphic All Elite. You know, there were questions actually about whether he was, you know, working on an appearance deal or if he'd signed with the company. And I think mainly that was because he was in MLW's Opera Cup taping last weekend. So I think a lot of people assumed that he was with MLW and Court Bauer for the short term. Basically, I think most people realize, like, oh, he's got to be signed with AEW, because he was wearing, I think, everything that he said was wearing had his name and an AEW logo on it. So kind of, like, if you were really looking at it, you kind of figured out he was going to sign with them. But just for those who don't know, he's a 44-year-old former Ring of Honor and NXT tag champ, released by the WWE in August. Stablemates with Adam Cole and NXT's Undisputed Era for almost the entirety of his time with the E. And he has vowed in AEW that he's not done with Guevara. Beyond that, you know, maybe he'll be able to help out some of these younger stars with the company. So it's nice for them to have some older, well-traveled talent. But I think this is a great signing for Bobby Fish. And it should also be mentioned, since we were talking earlier about the graphics and stuff, Kate did mention it, and Meltzer did kind of say through the Wrestling Observer newsletter that basically, unless someone's posted on social as being All Elite with the graphic, they're basically on a per-appearance deal with the company. So technically, Kira Hogan is not signed full-time with AEW. She's probably on a per-appearance basis because she did not receive the graphic. And I believe the other woman that they mentioned, that I just can't remember her name, Schlong, she wrestled Diamante on Dark this week.
What's it?
I don't mean to put you on the spot. That's it, Santana Garrett.
Santana Garrett, yeah.
Yep, she's probably not signed up full-time. So just a couple things to note there. And then the other thing is, as I mentioned before, there are some scheduling changes for AEW over the next couple weeks. So we obviously had Dynamite tonight. Rampage will be Friday night, pre-taped. And then next week, October 15th, they will be live for Rampage in Jacksonville. And then on the 16th, we get a special Saturday night Dynamite from Miami, and that's where we'll get the Inner Circle team versus American Top Team. And then there's also on October 23rd, the following Saturday, will be the Orlando debut for Dynamite. That will be Dynamite Saturday night. And again, it's really because of the kind of hockey schedule throwing things off for television. After that, October 27th, they're back to their normal Wednesday night. You know, and there's probably going to be a couple things moving forward after that, which will maybe throw the schedule off depending on hockey. So just keep that in mind. So as we said here, probably next week for us, we'll probably be talking dark at length. Maybe we'll pull some old sound clips out, Schlong. We'll talk about Rampage as well. And then, you know, the following Wednesday, we'll talk about Saturday Night Dynamite. So stay tuned with us. We'll be here next week, regardless, chatting it up. But guys, I don't have any more news and notes. If anybody else has anything they heard over the past week they'd like to talk about, feel free. But if not, that's it. We're going home.
We can just call out because it was announced today, and Matt brought it up in the chat. Matt Reichel, not our... our Matt, who hosts AJ Mendez, everybody was kind of rumoring was coming back. Punk said, you know, she was out because of an injury. It was a neck injury. She doesn't intend on coming back, but she did take an executive producer role with WOW Wrestling, which is a women's promotion that is relanching itself. They signed Tessa Blanchard earlier in the week, and she's going to executive produce there, which is great, in my opinion. So just congrats to her. But other than that, nothing AEW news and notes related or adjacent.
Well, then guys, it's time to roll. We're going to go home. Well, let's get some plugs out there before we roll out. Kate, what do you want to plug? Anything?
Oh my goodness. Yes. So tomorrow I am on Sports Kita's wrestling podcast. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, including the Queen of the Ring tournament that's coming up on the WWE side of things. Friday, I will be doing the SmackDown and AEW Rampage post-show review. And I'm also doing the Impact Knockouts review on Saturday with Denise Salcedo. Very excited about that for their Impact Plus special that's coming up. So that is me. The rest of the week, I am strange talking and coughing my way through podcasts the rest of the week through Saturday. So I thank you, and you can follow me at Kate on Deck IC on Twitter as well.
Schlong, you got anything you want to plug?
follow me at the Mark Order Pod on Twitter, because that's the only Twitter I use. I don't use personal because I don't care. So I'm pretty much, that's it. I'm going to give my sign off as so shlong and good night.
Ugh. Yeah, so I will definitely plug our socials at Mark Order Pod, as Ryan said, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We've got the YouTube up where we broadcast every week on Wednesday nights. So if you're listening in podcast form and you want to see us in video form, you can always go to the YouTube channel and see the live broadcast that we did on Wednesday nights. It's a lot of fun. We pull up the comments. Ryan's got a background now. It is what it is, even though it's, I don't know, what is that, a minor league hockey team behind you?
How dare you? And apparently my internet's moving very slow because my video is just not caught up to what I'm talking.
It is tired. We are all tired.
So follow us on social. It is a
better team than the Devils.
Not true. Follow us on social at Mark Order Pod. If you'd like some stickers, direct message us on any of our social channels. Like I said before, just send us your name and address. I'll do the rest. We'll ship them anywhere. So it doesn't matter if you're listening overseas, in the United States, wherever, we'll send them to you. I mean, if you want to follow me, you certainly can, at AntMoney on Twitter, at AntMoney247 on Instagram. Yeah, I don't know, guys. We'll be back next week. We'll see who's with us. Maybe Matt will be back with us next week. Kate maybe will be here if she's still not if she's not coughing and feeling good. We don't want to strain her too much.
If I'm medically cleared.
Yeah, we got to see if you're cleared, like Darby Allin.
That's right.
But guys, always a lot of fun hanging out on a Wednesday night with you two and chatting with our friends online. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Also, I should mention this too. We never mentioned this. If you're listening in podcast form, subscribe, leave us a rating. You can leave us ratings on Facebook as well. I think you can actually listen to old podcast episodes on the Facebook now too. There's some weird integration. I know I set it up, but I still can't find it. So maybe you guys can, who the fuck knows? But anyway, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks to everybody who's already reached out for stickers. A couple people during the show and yesterday reached out for stickers. I'll be shipping them. They'll be in the mail tomorrow, so keep an eye out. So with that, I would like to say thank you for listening. Anybody want to do the sign-off?
Goodbye and good night.
The schlong.
Quarter podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.